This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Happy New Year. Welcome to episode 142.
I'm just trying something different.
That sounded like I couldn't tell if you were going with Indian Chieftain or Sean Connery, or Sean Connery playing Indian Chieftain.
I once did the NAWAS phone list as Sean Connery from The Hunt from Red October. Mm. Hancock County. Piscataquis.
How is that? like that's Sean Connery from everything.
It's The Hunt for an October. It's Sean Connery doing a very bad Russian accent.
Oh, I gotcha. Yes.
Speaking English.
And American English.
Yes.
Not the Queen's English.
Correct. So it's was he a Scottish fella doing a fake Russian accent who's speaking American English.
Okay.
Anyways, welcome to episode 142 of What Did You Watch This Week?
Did you miss us?
Probably not. It's not like we took a week off or anything.
No, that's true.
I mean, we took a week off.
Right.
But we recorded in advance and split and spliced, and so there was no interruption in service.
That is true.
So.
But now we're back to kind of, I feel like this is much like right after the holidays is you look in the fridge and you're like, wow, that's a hodgepodge of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got like 2 pancakes, 3 pounds of scrambled eggs, half a chicken breast. You know, it's like just random shit that's left over. I feel like that's kind of what this is. Like all my week was just random shit.
Yeah. I mean, like
a few regular stories.
I watched a bunch of Twilight Zone.
Classic?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing marathon the other day, so.
They do a New Year's marathon on sci-fi every year. I didn't watch that, like, the week before there. I've been watching sci-fi, Twilight Zone, like, at work, because I don't have school work to do at work or at home, and I'm working a ton of overtime still. So Twilight Zone's easy to put on, because if I miss something, it's no big deal. I've seen every episode.
Right.
So, Night of the Meek is a great episode, and it's their Christmas one, basically, the only one they really did. And then I did watch the Alfred. What I ended up doing was I wanted to watch Christmas episodes of all these different shows. So I started with Twilight Zone's Night of the Meek, and then Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I watched Santa Claus and the 10th Avenue Kid and the Festivus season. And then I end up watching I went to go watch the Simpsons one, and they go to the discount Florida resort after Black Friday shopping. Doesn't work out for them. Which is hilarious as Marge helps old Gil catch a break, and then he just immediately sells the toy or whatever.
For like $200.
Yeah, yeah. Can't pass that up.
Nope. No.
And then I did watch Family Guy where Meg makes the Olympics. Did you watch that one?
Yes. The Griffin Winter Games.
Yes. Yeah, so I thought it was hilarious that I've been training for years, all the way back to my Lacey Cuthbert days. Or Lacey Shepard days.
Yep.
And then they show like her how they you know they show the vomiting scene. Oh my god!
I love that.
When I watched it initially, I laughed so hard I had to stop it and rewind it. And tears were coming down my eyes, and I couldn't get over it. Especially at the end of the "Who Wants Chowder?" they cut her into that scene.
Yep.
They cut her into the other scene with Stevie going, "Mom, mommy, 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 mom, mom." You know, they cut her into that scene.
Yep.
And. You know, and then Stewie hating broccoli from season one, like her Lacey Chappert days, and on and on and on, and it was pretty cool.
It was clever the way that they did that.
Yes, yeah. And then of course Peter gets captured by North Korea
because of course you know.
Yeah. And then Meg saves him.
Yep.
She's been training for years, and so she can ski
cross country and shooting.
Yep. And then they escape N64 Bond style.
Yep.
Which I thought was
cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Loved that.
oh, and we're going to down here, which means we made it out, yeah. You know, whatever. Like,
no.
So, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So I watched a bunch of Christmas episodes of different things, and that got me hooked on watching a bunch of Twilight Zone, and I probably watched 30 episodes,
wow.
Like, just kind of on the TV, right. Not maybe paying attention every time. Just kind of letting it run because it just plays one after another type of thing. So
gotcha.
I mean, did you have any ragtaggy stuff like that you watched?
Before that, I just wanted to say,
yeah.
To answer a question that we had from last week.
Okay.
We were discussing the cruel irony of A Barrel of Monkeys.
Oh, okay, sure.
Remember that?
Yes.
Well, apparently, it's meant to be a sarcastic statement.
Oh, okay.
Which we kind of figured. We were like, right. Who would ever like that? Apparently, in the 1840s,
oh, Jesus.
It started off as a cage full of monkeys. And by the 1890s, it evolved into a wagon load of monkeys. But it's always meant to be just like a sarcastic thing, like, oh, that's more fun than a barrel full of monkeys. That wouldn't be fun at all. Okay. You're right.
All right.
So,
all right.
So I feel better having known that. Yeah, a lot of my stuff, like, I'd watch little things here and there. You know, Netflix has a show called The Fix. I got sucked right into that.
Is it a fiction show or is it like a home repair show?
No. It's none of the above. It's actually comedians. So you've got one guy that hosts it, and I know you've seen this guy before. He's a comedian, and he has the most annoying laugh in the world because he goes, So he's the host, and then he has two panels of two comedians, and they present a problem, like social media. And they discuss the problems with social media, and then each team comes up with a fix for social media. Some of them are actually quite clever, like making somebody have an internet license. You know, in order to get online, you actually have to have a license that has all your real credentials on it so that there's no more anonymous trolling stuff. But
Jimmy Carr.
Yes.
Huh, that's actually pretty interesting.
It was a good show. It's like half an hour per episode, and they discuss, you know, real topics, but they're all comedians, so they have really funny. I mean, I laughed out loud several times.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that. But yeah, it was just a lot of that. As far as Christmas episodes go, I did watch the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina had a Christmas special, although for them it was a Yule special.
Okay.
And it was good. It served as a standalone, but like, if you hadn't watched the season before it,
yeah.
You wouldn't have picked up on a lot of the stuff.
Okay.
Like, their characters are where they are now.
Okay.
And no real growth happens, so, like, when the second season comes around in a couple of months, it's not like you
will. So, if you missed it, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched our regular family Christmas specials. We got them in, like, Muppet Family Christmas, Muppet Christmas Carol.
And the Daughter's Drug Band Christmas?
Yep. Yeah. Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Twas?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite cartoon ones. All those Bass and Rankin favorites, you know, like Frosty Returns, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Little Drummer Boy. Kate loves Jack Frost for some reason.
Hmm.
So, but we have all those on DVD or Blu-ray.
I assume you don't mean the Michael Keaton movie.
No. The old Claymation, the Bass and Rankin Claymation special, the Jack Frost one.
Daddy used to hate Claymation.
Oh, wow. The stop motion, whatever you want to call it.
She used to hate it.
So we watched all those, got all those in, you know, the yearly things that you have to make sure. I mean, I actually just put all those away on the shelf today because they're all stacked by the TV.
And it's the 2nd of January. That's when we're recording.
Yeah.
1-2-2019.
I literally just took my tree out of the house this morning.
Wow.
The wife undecorated it this weekend and then pulled the couch out to paint the primer of the wall. So now the couch and coffee table and everything's blocking the way for me to take the tree out. So, anyways, I got the tree out this morning. But we watched all those standard Christmas specials. And then we did watch, I'm just going to jump into it. We watched a new movie, which I may have talked about it already, I guess, because it's not on here. But we watched The Christmas Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
I think you actually mentioned that last time.
Okay.
Maybe not. But I remember asking somebody, and I think it was you, if it was any good. And that, yeah, because
we liked it.
Kurt Russell
makes
a joke about the fact that he's not fat.
And I will say this right now because it's been well past Christmas. At the end, he's finally back in North Pole and this and that. Mrs. Claus shows up and she's kind of giving him shit, blah, blah, blah. And it's Goldie Hawn.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That's brilliant. Love it.
But I mostly watched – I actually got a lot of movies in.
I got a lot of movies
in.
And like I said, I did watch – like I watched the Superstore episode that I hadn't watched from last time.
Okay.
The Shadowing Glenn episode.
That was a good episode.
Chateau.
Chateau, yes.
Cheyenne and Mateo are starting their own business. Chateau. Yeah. They're looking at, is that the Pizza Hut logo?
Yeah.
You just, how does it make you feel?
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yep. Did you get Legends of Tomiamiao?
I actually watched it today. I knew I had to watch it before things got too far gone, and it was hilarious.
Wasn't it?
It's, I watched it, and I'm, you know, of course, you know, we got the, and I say I watched it, but I'm not going to remember all the things. We had the custodians of the timeline or whatever.
Yes.
You know, when it's the guys killing everything on site. And then we have the girls, and they're all like Charlie's Angels and leather pants, and, you know, it's a hand warmer. That's funny. And they even had Gideon as a human, or in
human
android form or whatever. Because when they first, like, showed the what were they, the Sisters of something?
Sirens.
Like, Sirens, yeah. Sirens of Slaughter or whatever. I was like, who the hell's the third girl?
Sirens of Space Time.
Yeah, I was like, who the hell's the third girl?
Right.
And then I was like, oh, okay. And then, and then when the shapeshifter there is trying to explain something to Sarah, she talks about timey-wimey, and she's like, I don't have time for that. I thought that was fine. I was like, yeah,
timey-wimey, because she's British.
Well, yeah. So
loved it.
So I thought that was cool. It was a great episode, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Because they had to deal
puppets.
With
puppets.
Oh, the puppets.
The puppets was hilarious.
Oh my God.
It was good TV.
Legends of Fun or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. It was brilliant. They had to deal with all the breaks in time that had been caused when John erased himself from and then in the end he had to do it.
Yeah, in the end they just had to really legit had to reset the way it was. But I just thought it was so good. I liked the scene where they kept coming back to see like if there was another like tribute plaque to someone who died.
Right.
And she comes around the corner and it's Gary and she goes, close enough, you know, like close enough.
Right.
So I thought it was great, and it was one of the things I really loved about the show is how just ridiculous it is. And how it makes fun of itself.
Oh, it does.
And it goes back to it's my favorite one.
Zari is a cat.
Yeah.
And then like halfway through the episode, they like fix something and she's no longer a cat. She's like really pissed at them and she's like, ah. And then they're like, oh, we need to go redo this thing. Sorry, love. And she's like, what? And they
make her a cat again. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Cause she's going, no, you have to.
Yeah.
And then when she becomes the puppet and they turn around, oh, she's back. Oh, wait, she's a puppet. What's wrong? You know, I just thought that was great. And it's, you have missed calls from blah, blah, blah. Oh, must be time for the crossover again. Big pass on that, you know, like
right in the very beginning. Big pass on that.
It's really become my favorite of the CW shows because it makes fun of itself. It's over the top ridiculous. It's funny.
And it can do stuff like this where it stands alone.
The first season, it was so serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the second season, too. And then was it the third season? They finally started like near the end. The third season, they started lightening up a little bit, kind of like, you know, along the way.
No, the third season, they were lightened up. It was the second season towards the end. Second season, we hated.
Yes. The third season, they started lightening up throughout the season until, you know, the finale, of course.
Right.
I think it really, for me, it started with the, Return of the Mac. When they did that whole thing with Return of the Mac, and he's like...
Because it could have gone so bad.
It could have.
Having Damian Dark back, we're like, really, they're recycling a villain again? I mean, first he was an Arrow villain, then he was a Legends villain, now he's a Legends villain again? Come on.
But it worked.
It worked.
And
especially
just
with the song.
Kind of everything they've done, it's worked. Like, there's so much humor, but it's just great. Even Nora Dark being a wench at the Renaissance Fair. You know what I mean? Everything they're doing with it, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. I finished DC's Titans.
I'm kind of pissed about that. Nothing you finished it.
Okay. Did you watch it?
No. But see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
There were all these news sites that were like, DC's Titans coming to Netflix. And I'm like, awesome. No. It seems that the DC Access Network is only available in the U.S.
Yes.
So internationally, they've signed a deal so Netflix that anyone outside
Canada.
Of... Yes. Oh, anyone internationally can watch it on Netflix if they have a Netflix account. But nobody in America.
Right, yeah.
Because in America, you have to pay.
Yeah.
You got to pay for it. Okay. But if you have Netflix outside of America, you're all set. You can watch Titans.
Yeah.
dicks.
There's a lot of stuff that's like that they have on Netflix outside the
Dick
U.S.
Graysons.
So I finished it.
Yeah.
And it, okay, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It told some good stories. It was really dark. And then the last episode did have Batman in it. Sorta.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't, I mean, sorta.
Mm.
But it just ended. Like, it didn't feel like a finale episode, a season finale episode. It from where the story was in episode 10, and then we get episode 11, and it's sort of like we have this whole episode, and then the last 2 minutes of it are like, it felt like more like, hey, there's one more episode this season, but not really. It's because it's just, yeah. They did the thing where like the first 40 minutes were fantasy world or dream world or whatever, and that's when Batman was in it. And then like the last 4 minutes is like a continuation from episode 10, but that's the end of the season.
It's a dick move.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It wasn't really even like a to-be-continued, sorry, grim type moment. It wasn't like a, oh my god, I can't wait to see what happens. It was more like a, that's it? That's how it's ending? Huh. Okay. Well, I guess that's how it's ending.
Huh.
So, yeah. It's kind of lacklustery, letdowny.
I'm sorry.
Eh, whatever. It is what it is. Doom Patrol starts up soon. If I still got my friend's username and password and it's still on Sorg, I'll probably watch it.
Right.
I am excited about Swamp Thing this summer, though.
Would you, like, with what you saw of Titans, would you feel ripped off if you had paid for the DC service yourself? Instead of leeching it from someone else?
Yeah.
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 So what do they want, like $12 a month or something?
$8.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's $7.99.
Still, it's a nickel dime thing.
If you, and that's the thing. Like, all right, so I, you know, if you got it for, like, right now, you could get a month of it and watch all of Titans and watch all the, like, there's a bunch of, like, DC animated movies I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the new Batman Ninja, a lot of the newer ones, or Teen Titans Go, the new season of, you know, Young Justice or Teen Titans Go. If you wanted to watch any of those things, you could get a month, just binge for that month watching all this different content and then just cancel it. And then, you know, after Swamp Thing's all done airing, get a month and watch all of Swamp Thing plus anything new they put on it. You know, like you could do it that way. That's kind of what I do with some, like I get High Spots for a month, like twice a year, High Spots Wrestling Network. Because it's $10 a month. So I get it like twice a year. I'll get it for a month and watch a bunch of stuff on it. Or like Progress Wrestling. I'll get Progress a couple times a year. That's $8 a month for a month to catch up on all the shows that I didn't see or whatever. I wouldn't want to pay. I would never pay $10 a month for High Spots every month.
Gotcha.
It's not worth it for me. And same thing with the Progress. I mean, they don't do enough shows for the $8 a month. If it was like $4 a month, I probably would actually. Which would still be more than spending the money I spend a year,
right.
But it's only $4 a month. But yeah, you know, with all these
how
streaming
we call ourselves.
Yeah, but you so nickel and dime yourself. You got to watch. It's like I still haven't done Discovery. I still haven't watched Star Trek Discovery.
Right.
My buddy Brandon down in North Carolina absolutely loves it. He cannot wait for the new season to come out. I'd like to watch it someday, but even buying the DVDs, $40 for the DVD. So I might as well break down, buy a month of Star, you know, CBS and watch the Star Trek series.
Yeah.
But I haven't done it. But I do want to watch the new Twilight Zone. And yeah, I want to see that Captain Picard series. Yep. So I might have to. I guess the only other new show, I mean, I got two other shows that we have to talk about. Doctor Who and the Orville.
And Timeless.
Oh, and Timeless. That's right. We didn't talk about it. And then I did watch a bunch of movies.
Well,
let's talk about. Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, so let's talk about Timeless.
So Timeless had its finale.
Yeah,
which it touted as a movie,
but it was just two episodes.
It was just two episodes, and it even gave in the credits in the beginning.
Yeah, part one, part two. I mean, it was two episodes. It wasn't a movie event.
No,
which is fine because it didn't look any different. It didn't have like a polished movie look. It just looked like two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Which my guess is they'll just tack on to the season 2 DVD set if that ever comes out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so what'd you think of it?
I thought that they gave us what we were looking for.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little cheesy. It was definitely they knew that they were done.
Yep.
They were not trying to leave on any kind of cliffhanger. They wrapped up the Rufus storyline really fast.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Like, really fast.
Super fast.
Like, when we ended, the cliffhanger that we got at the end of the series, or yes, the second season, was future Wyatt and what's her name there, Lucy, yep, showing up and saying, come on,
let's go save Rufus. Yeah.
And then they were in there for, like, all of 30 seconds, because yeah, they were like, we can't be in our own timeline, and Lucy was starting to get dizzy.
And sick, so they pulled out, yeah.
But it was actually, like, by the end of the episode, like, most of the episode, it was okay. It was timeless, yeah, you know? Garcia realized that the only way to stop everything that had happened to Rufus, well, they all realized together that it was to take Jessica back out of the timeline.
Yes, if they kill Jessica, then it would be done.
Well, they wouldn't say kill, but they kept saying, you know, we have to take her out of the timeline. Yeah,
well, if they took her out of the timeline, it would be done. And so Wyatt said he was going to go back and do it, but Garcia did it himself.
Yep. Which,
okay,
now we look at it, and he was always the one who did it.
Yes. Yes, he was always the one, because initially when he showed up to find her and kill her, the other guy was already there.
Yep.
You know,
the Rittenhouse guy.
The Rittenhouse was already there, yeah. And when Garcia, you know, the way they saved her was the Rittenhouse guy came back and got her out of there before Garcia could come in and kill her.
So now he goes,
yeah,
knocks that guy out, and then
probably killed him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then they wrestle, and he
well, here's him. The thing: she must have already been working for Rittenhouse, because when she was fighting. Her fighting skills were way too good for just.
And she made a mention, you know, the yes, guy was like talking about blah blah blah, and she's like, "What does Rittenhouse want of me now?"
Yes, and then they commence to fighting.
And but he's already getting the dizzy head, yes, headache
and
thing,
not doing well,
because he's in his own timeline.
Yeah. And he ends up killing her. And my favorite part is because it has the thing where he shoots her and she's like, oh, and she collapses. And you're like, well, we don't know if she's dead. I mean, yeah, she got shot, but she could be laying there playing possum. And then he walks by her and just plugs another one into her to make sure she's dead. I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's pretty brutal. But that insurance shot really did finish her off.
Yeah, he wanted to make sure.
And then he sent the that was the other thing. Oh, that was at the end. But he sent the lifeboat back, and then went and looked through the windows of his family to see his kids and his wife again, and then died.
Before they were taken away, yes, by Rittenhouse.
And when he killed Jessica, that immediately brought Rufus back. And Rufus, because they were all captured now in the South by these soldiers, and Rufus showed up as, I'm saving you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't you? I was here all along. Like, he never knew he was dead,
right,
obviously.
Because he came from a different timeline, essentially.
Yes, yeah. It was not this, yeah. So, and then it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because by the end of it, you know, some of it was a little too easy.
Well, they had to finish everything up.
Like, they broke her dad out of jail by just having their government connections say, hey, yeah, get him out of jail.
Yeah.
And he came back and saw.
Well, he basically, like, turned state's evidence and got witness protection.
Yeah. So he came back and saw Bitchface there, and he was like, you're turning Rittenhouse into nothing but a money-grubbing...
Yeah.
I'm taking back over. And she's like, no!
And then they came in and arrested her.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, that was an easy...
And that was it. Up. So she's arrested, but he's in witness protection type of thing. But Rittenhouse is done.
But the coolest thing that they did...
Oh, no, because she got away, didn't she?
I think she did.
Because she ended up with Lucy, because remember, Lucy, she was just like, I can tell you how to save your sister.
Yeah.
And Lucy was like, nope.
Nope.
Crack.
Yeah.
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 And took her out, too.
Yeah.
So she was dead.
Because Lucy basically was like, my sister's not meant to be right now, you know?
Basically, yeah.
And if she is meant to be, we'll find a way on our own.
Which is kind of, I guess, stand-up-ish of her.
Yep.
You know, adult.
Yep.
I guess is the proper word.
But the coolest thing that they did, in my opinion, was that the last 15, 20 minutes of the episode, they basically came full circle on themselves. And yes, they showed that the real hero of this entire story was Garcia Flynn.
Yes. Actually, they really did. Yeah.
Lucy goes down to the bar where he was drinking himself to death. And she knows that she met up with him and gave him her notebook. From early on. Well, they discussed it in the seasons, but
yeah,
she essentially goes back to before the first episode, gives him this and tells him, you need to stop Rittenhouse, blah, blah, blah. You're going to be a hero. And then the three of them leave, and Garcia's left there to start thumbing through the notebook. And then we see a nice clip montage of the first episode.
Yes.
And watching Garcia, you know, enact his plan and steal the time machine and, you know, do the Hindenburg thing and tell Lucy that, you know, you gave me this notebook. And so it was really beautiful because they brought it full loop. We got to see the first episode again.
Right. And, And then at the end, they destroyed the mothership, but they saved the lifeboat, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the lifeboat was more maybe technology advanced than the mothership, thanks to the advancements that future Lucy and future Wyatt made on it. Because now it could
autopilot,
which the mothership couldn't.
Right.
And but so Lucy, so they jump to 2023, and Lucy's teaching history. She's got two daughters with Wyatt. They named them Flynn and Amy.
Yeah.
Rufus and Jaya running their own company.
Yeah.
She's the face of the company. He's working behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's Rhea, because it's Rufus and Gia.
So, oh, yes. Yeah,
that's the name of the company.
Yeah. Okay, Gia. I said Jaya. And then that's when they make the trip is in 2023 when they go back. And then they come again. And basically, like, Wyatt's working for Denise.
Yep.
Because they're keeping the lifeboat just in case someone else invents time travel.
That was the thing. They had a big argument there with the inventor of it, and he talked about the Manhattan Project, and he said, you know, somebody else is going to invent this.
Yes.
Don't we want to be able to stop them when they do?
And then at the end, you see a young girl working on plans, and it looks like, you know, hey, they could make another lifeboat.
She was the girl who was at the foundation that the Rhea Foundation.
Yes.
And showing off her smarts to them. You know, Rufus was like, wow, look, you invented that. Wow, that's pretty cool. And then she was doing sketches of basically another lifeboat.
Yeah. So they could continue the show.
They could.
Yeah, in the future.
Yep. Because it is a time travel show.
Exactly. But it was good.
It was good. It was satisfying.
It was a satisfying ending. Also called a Christmas miracle or the miracle of Christmas or whatever.
Yep. So, part one and two.
Yep. But it kind of sucks, though, because in the end, you know, we only got two seasons and a movie.
Right. Not six seasons in a movie.
Yeah, and like that's the other thing is, like, we only got, like, if you count the movie as two episodes, 28 episodes, which isn't a lot.
Right.
So, oh, well, regardless.
Speaking of two seasons in a movie.
Yeah.
I saw something online today, and I can't believe that I never saw this before, but they said, do you realize that in the first three seasons of Community, once per season they say the word Beetlejuice, and then later on in the third season you see him walk by the study room, just casually in the background.
Nope.
Yep.
I didn't notice that.
I read that and I went, it's fucking genius.
That is genius.
Once per season, they say Beetlejuice. And then after they've said it in the third season, a little while later, he walks by the window.
That's cool. I like that. The Orville came back after football on Sunday night.
Yeah. And I was quite surprised to see that it started on time.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
One episode.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be two episodes for some reason, but it was one episode. And I started watching it, and I was like, man, did I miss this show?
I had the same reaction. I was like, wow, I'm so glad this is back.
I really missed the awesomeness of this show.
Because it's funny, but it's not stupid funny.
No. This episode's premise is the fact that Mucklins only urinate once a year. And they do so, like, off a cliff, but in front of their friends. And it's a big ceremony, like a passage ceremony or whatever. I mean,
so they definitely bring up jokes about
The premise of the episode is a guy's got to take a piss for the first time in a year.
Yeah, their new dark matter expert is on the ship. And she's like, I've been dreaming of this my whole life, seeing new galaxies and meeting new civilizations. Where are we heading? And he's like, yeah, we're going to go watch our crew member pee.
Yeah, he walks off.
But
it was a relationship episode.
It was a big relationship episode. Everyone had their own, you know, relationship quandaries. Kelly started seeing somebody new, even though the captain really wanted to get back together with her. And, you know, he's doing the, you know, we still love each other. And she's like, well, it's not enough. And, you know, she wants to try something with this guy. And so he's kind of heartbroken. And the chief of security is saying that, you know, most people can't stand that she's so strong. So she never gets a good relationship. And Bordas hooks her up. He's like, I will command him to mate with you. Yeah. He said that he has somebody on his crew who's like, he is not successful with love. I will command him to mate with you. And she's like, No, that's okay.
It's not that's what right. I need.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And then, what is it? I can't think of the character names. It's just terrible right now. The doctor and the robot.
Oh, yeah. Isaac and I can't remember the doctor's name.
Either way. Essentially, like, her kid's a shithead.
Yep.
But it's his friend that's the bigger shithead.
Mm-hmm.
Claire. Dr. Claire Finn?
Yep.
Yeah. His friend's the bigger shithead. And, of course, it's a scenario where they get in trouble, and then the parents meet, and the doctor's like, well, and the other parents are like, we don't want our kid hanging out with your kid because he's a bad influence, because that's what our kid told us, and we're stupid. And we believe our kid wholeheartedly, you know, and then
he's a little rebellious, but he gets straight A's. And Isaac's like, if I may look at the computer.
Yeah. Isaac is basically acting like the dad.
Yeah.
To the kids. Because, I mean, it's the continuation.
It's a continuation
from the first season where he just wanted to observe the household style and the dynamics of it so we could learn about it.
And then they crashed on that planet and
he
kind of had to be a role model.
And so now at this point, he's kind of like dad. But, yeah. So he's like, well, it seems to me that, so-and-so says he gets straight A's, but clearly it's been tampered with and that he doesn't get straight A's, and your son gets his A's and B's, like you said. So it logically would lead me to believe that your son's a liar, liar, pants on fire. He didn't say that, but,
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, thank you so much. You stood up for my son. I really appreciate it. I'd like to have you accompany me to
Bordas's
peeing, yeah.
Because it's bad luck to see it alone.
Correct, but the captain went alone.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I thought the captain and the security officer ended up going together for pomp and circumstance, not just for the event, as a relationship. But then, of course, at the end, they tease that he and the new dark matter crew or whatever ladies.
So. Yeah. I like that that the crew member that was being forced to mate with her was what's his name there with the giant head.
Yes, and I recognize his voice, and I'm trying to think.
He's always like, oh, that's cool, yeah. And she's like, no, I just don't think it'll work. It's my big, ugly head. No. I really liked Kelly's new boyfriend, though, because it was the cool relationship.
Teacher.
Yeah. They had the cool relationship going there where, he's like, the captain does a drive-by.
Yes, to see who his her date is.
Takes and a shuttle out to go for a drive.
And he's just like, yeah, that seems normal.
I would want to see the other person too. That's absolutely. She's like, why are you being so evolved?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Because I am evolved.
What are you looking at?
Oh no, I was just looking at the fact that I was checking my dates, but the new episode's on tomorrow night.
Yes, and that'll be its new night.
Yep.
You know what else comes on tomorrow night?
Gotham's back, isn't
it? Blacklist.
Oh.
And it's going to be 2 days in a row.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Or just this week?
Just this week.
Oh, okay.
And then I think that it switches to, I think it's just Thursdays, but for some reason this week, it's going to be on twice in a row.
How did I watch Blacklist last year?
Carefully, I think, because it wasn't available on Netflix. And
it was the NBC app, actually. Okay. I had to watch it within the first 7 days it was on the NBC app. I just had to deal with the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I watched it last year, the NBC app.
Be careful of that.
So
make sure you get it in time.
I will. I enjoy the show thoroughly.
I do too. I watched the first two episodes of the second season of Marvel's Runaways on Hulu.
Oh, how's that?
Better. The first season was slow. This season, they are actually runaways.
Okay.
They ran away at the end of the first season, and they're kind of living on the street now.
So the kids finally got to the mall, huh?
Yeah. They're trying to survive out on the streets and having some hard times doing that. And their parents are still just as evil. But, the thing is, their parents are evil, but they run like charity organizations and such. So they have a face. So everyone thinks that they're these great philanthropists and this awesome group. And yet they're really evil, which is the best kind of evil. They're not just overtly evil.
Right.
But I'm enjoying it. Nice. I'm spacing it out. I'm trying to avoid binging some things now.
I hear you.
One thing that I did binge, though.
Did they release the whole season?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't binge all of it, but it was one of those good background shows. I was telling you about this. Schitt's Creek.
Oh, okay, yes.
It's a Netflix show.
That's right. I've been wanting to watch that.
Yep. It's Eugene Levy and his son, who looks just like him, only younger, and fabulous.
Okay.
They produce the show, and they've written most of it, I believe. But it's a story of riches to rags, this family who is super rich, and all their money is taken away because of, you know, squirrely dealings and such.
Right.
Well, when they were rich, Eugene Levy, the dad, bought his son a joke gift, which was a town. He bought the deed to a town called Schitt's Creek. And that's the only thing that they have left to their name. So they go and they live there because they own it. And it's friggin' hilarious. This is not like a typical, oh, what are they going to do? They're not going to be able to. These people know how to live life.
Yeah.
They just don't like living a lower life. Living a less glamorous life. They understand that they have to get jobs. They understand that they have to try to get money, but they still complain, you know, that their $150 moisturizer is too hard to come by out here. Chris Elliott is the mayor of the town.
And he's hilarious.
He's hilarious. Catherine Hahn is the, Yeah. Is the mother. She's a riot. It's a really good show. Honestly, it's a half an hour at a time. And I really enjoy it. Something good for the background, something good to just kind of watch and get a few yucks out of.
Yeah. Someone had recently recommended a show to me, and I thought it was this. I thought it was Schitt's Creek it was Corner Gas.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that's what it was, and so I was like, oh, it's on Amazon. I'll check it out. So I watched the first episode of that. It sucked.
Yeah, it's not that good. It's not good at all.
Someone was giving me a hard sell on it. Oh, it's so great, and they just made a movie about it, and it's blah, blah, blah. And I watch it, I'm like, this is like... This is lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Not great at all.
No, I didn't like it. I tried watching that a while back.
People liked it enough that I got, like, what, 6 seasons in a movie or some shit? Yeah. So, I'm like, maybe it gets better, but it definitely did not start good.
Also, I got to tell you, I've now completed 6 episodes of Night Flyers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have it in me to complete the last 4.
Oh, yeah?
It's just, it's annoying. It's not drawing me in, like, mm-hmm. I don't care about the story. As soon as I found out that, you know, the ghost of the ship is his mother, and he put her inside the computer program, I was like, pass.
Yeah, he's an android.
Oh.
That's why she can talk to his brain the whole time. We don't know that. I don't think he knows that.
I don't think I care.
Yeah.
It's not drawing me in, like the beginning
of the episode, the very first thing you see when what's her face there? She played Betty Page in the movie Betty Page.
Gretchen Mol.
Gretchen Mol when she slits her own throat and shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Episode 9 that happens in. And then you still have episode 10 to go.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Here's the thing, like you would like the way they set it up, like she's killing herself and then that's the end of it and da da da. No, she kills herself and then like there's more. And it's the alien race that they're seeking out.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, because to make context. So they find that alien race, right?
Yeah.
And the guy, the one that keeps seeing flashes of his daughter and, you know, this and that, and his wife is slowly erasing. She's erasing memories of her daughter.
Yeah.
And then he starts erasing memories of her, of him, that he's in. She's like, you can't erase that. That was a vacation that we did together. That was our honeymoon. I know, but it makes me think of my daughter, our daughter, and this and that. And so finally, he's like, fine, whatever. You can just erase me. And he starts banging Gretchen Mol. Mm. Anyways, yeah. So he ends up in like the spaceship, like the escape pod or something, and launches himself out to the aliens. And then it becomes all kind of artsy shit, where there's flashes of light, and he goes in and this and that.
Like the last 15 minutes of 2001.
Yeah, and then so there's all these flashes of light, and all this stuff's happening, and then the ship itself is basically going to explode, and everyone's going to die. Or no, they're shutting everything down to conserve the power, and everyone's going into one section to put all the oxygen in there, because the fate of the crew is left unknown. Like they're hunkering down going into like survival mode, but we don't know what happens to them. That's the last thing we kind of see of them. Oh. And then he goes off into all this fancy light and da da, and all these flashes and memories and all this stuff is happening. And then poof, it all kind of stops. And then he kind of like he's with his daughter and his wife, and they're together, and she's alive, and they like they're going to a picnic or going to a birthday party or doing something together, and that's how it ends.
The last episode that I watched, which I believe was episode 6, featured the spaceship full of women who
the Amazon,
who sucked the semen out of men so
no, they could make babies. Let's be more clear. They didn't just hook them up to like a pump thing. No, they had a long needle that they drove down into the dick.
Yeah.
And when they free everybody, and the guy's like, I'm not going anywhere because I'm going to kill that bitch first.
That was the only redeeming
That was awesome. He's like, no. It's my time.
Yeah, she's
but I'm going to kill that bitch first.
She's giving this big old speech about how, we're glad that you men came along. You givers. They had
the givers of life.
They had to do a fucking cultish kind of thing. Three more givers.
100% was.
Because, it's been taxing over the years as we've been doing him over and over and over again, and he's kind of running dry. What the fuck? That just took way too hard of a turn for me. And they've got these guys hooked up with this metal junk over their junk, and they're like, and it's not even that they're trying to replace their population. They're using them to create embryos, to create babies that they can then eat.
Yeah. Yeah. They're basically being really high tech, fancy cannibals.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is a bit insane.
So, yeah, I was like, I'm all done with this show.
Yeah, it was, I think for me, I didn't sit and watch it like at home where I had to focus on it. It was a background show while I was kind of at work kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I watched it. I watched it on my tablet at work and on breaks and downtime. So, it wasn't great.
No, it was not.
I started watching it at home because the first couple episodes are pretty good. But then, they like were. You said, once you find out that the ship isn't really a ghost and it's not really like Event Horizon, it's his mom because she's programmed into it. And it's just like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see when like the Angus, whatever, British guy or whatever, the guy with the beard who's there to meet life. So he meets the bee lady.
Yeah.
They end up having a kid. Did you see that?
Yep.
And the kid's born.
No, I didn't see it born. Okay, I saw that she was pregnant.
The kid's born, and then immediately starts to go like Marvel Ashy from after Thanos snapped his fingers because it has some sort of parasite or something that's in it.
And wouldn't it have been the mother then?
Nope. Well, it goes airborne, and so they lock it down and they lock it down into the room that it's in and quarantine it in there, and the captain's in there with them. And so he's not getting sick, though. But, like, the doctor's getting sick, and then the wife's getting sick, and this and that and everything. And she's basically begging him to just kill me. Kill me before this happens, because we just watched this really horrible visual thing of this baby just decaying and turning to ash and all this other stuff. And it was fucking gross, actually. It was creepy. And so finally, like, they sanitize the room, which is they basically burn everything. Everything organic burns up in the room. And the captain's in there with you. And you're like, oh shit, well, he's gone. Oh no, when it's all done, he's standing there. That's when you find out he's the android. And the only thing organic on his body is apparently his eyes. But he can still see because he's an android, but the meat around the eyes that made him look real is gone.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't keep going.
So, did you watch Doctor Who?
I did.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
I loved it. Yeah, me too.
I thought it was great.
We got because it was honestly the one thing. Like, okay, so I really enjoyed this season, but it didn't. It felt completely different from all the other seasons because, like we talked about, there wasn't a big story that connected them all.
Right.
And they really just kind of seemed to go on adventures, and then it was over, and then it was like we didn't see any old villains per se, and it was just.
It didn't feel quite Doctor Who-ish.
It really didn't. But at the same time, it did.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because they always won in the end.
Exactly, but it didn't. And so in this episode, which is the New Year's special, and it wasn't like 2 hours or an hour and a half. It was like 55 minutes. So it was like a standard episode length. It opens up with talking about this race, and I think it's like 900s, set, the year 900 time frame, the 9th century or whatever. And these human clans band together and they destroy this alien and cut it into three pieces. And then they're going to bury it on three places around the world. And two of them manage to get to where they're going to bury it, and then the third guy gets basically murdered by passerbyers.
Okay, hold on. This made me chuckle because they're like, we're going to separate it out to three corners of the world and all of our descendants are going to protect them. So you send one person to an isolated island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
No problem. They get there. They dig up the hole. They're like, yeah. Send the next one to like basically
Siberia.
The North Pole.
Siberia.
Yeah.
A legit Siberia.
Yep. Yeah. And braving the blizzards and the wilderness and they dig down in the snow and they bury it. Yep. No problem. Third guy is riding through England. Like, green hills, beautiful skies, like, no adversity whatsoever. Gets fucking sniped by a bandit with a bow.
Yep.
It's like, boom.
Yeah. And they just leave his dead body there. And apparently, everyone left his dead body there for all of time. And then it got covered in earth. And then they built, you know, a sewer over it.
These people killed him and robbed him, but they didn't think to take the bundle in his arm that he was holding like a baby. Like, they didn't even look at it. No, it was just like, now let's grab his coin purse and run.
Yep.
And I don't mean his testicles.
I knew what you meant. But otherwise, it was good.
That was a little hard.
That was. But ultimately, what it is, we find out later on in the episode, it's a Dalek.
It's a Dalek.
It's a Dalek that hasn't been... It's one of the first Daleks to meet hit Earth, and it's a scout.
It's a scout. Forward scout Dalek.
Yeah, and so it has more powers than a normal Dalek doesn't have. And when they find it in Sheffield, when they find the beast that was there, they put it underneath the UV lighting because that's what they do when they find something in archaeological dig, and it activates him,
reanimates it, basically.
Reanimates him, yeah, and he somehow manages to suck his other two pieces to him.
Yep,
it becomes whole again, and then you see it on the wall. And here's the thing: I'm looking at it on the wall when the girl goes up to it. And I'm like, is that a Dalek?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. And then, like, she, like, it disappears. And, you know, and here's the weird thing. When the doctor gets off the TARDIS and she first scans the guy. Oh, he's fine. But she never scans the girl. I'm like, clearly the squid's in her or something.
Yep.
And then she gets home and it's talking. I'm like, that sounds an awful lot like a Dalek. And then finally the voice is right. Like, it takes a little bit to get there. And I'm like, that's a Dalek story. Yay! Yep.
So the thing basically became like a backpack parasite.
Yes.
Had its tentacles in her and could control her, controlled her motor functions, could read her thoughts.
Yeah.
She fought back a little bit in the beginning because he wasn't fully integrated. But once he was integrated, that was it. Like, you are my puppet, said at one point. And so he takes her on a road trip to this place that buys black market tech.
Yep.
You know, any tech will do. And it's because they have old Dalek weapons.
Yep.
And on the way, she does some pretty badass stuff. Like, she takes out a couple of cops, steals a cop car, has a rollicking good time. Meanwhile, the doctor and company are back at Graham's house because he's like, where are we going? Well, your house, of course.
Yeah.
And then she breaks his chair and he's like, you broke my chair. Well, you shouldn't just leave chairs lying around. It's my house.
No, it's like, it's in my doorway or whatever it is. Yeah.
And Ryan's dad shows up.
Yes. Aaron shows up. And I liked it when Graham answers the door and just shuts it and then rings again.
No, he like opens the door and goes, nope.
Yeah. Shuts it. That's right. He just says, nope. Shuts it.
And he goes in and sits down and it rings again. He's just sitting there.
And she's like, oh, is that your defense system or something like that? No, it's the doorbell. Oh, that's right. Doorbell.
Intruder alert.
Yeah. And Ryan opens the door and he comes in. He's like, this is my dad. And he's like, you know, this is, you know, Yasmin, my grandma's doctor, and this is the doctor. Hi, I'm, you know, hi, Ryan's dad. Yeah, my name's Aaron. He reached your hand out. He goes like, why weren't you at Grace's funeral? He waited for you. You disappointed him or something. Like, she immediately
like reads a riot act, but not in like a mean way. You know, she just like
factual way, very factually. Like,
you disappointed him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was counting on you and you let him down.
Yep.
And Ryan does, he's just like, And then they go down this coffee shop and have a drink, and then, you know, more hijinks happen, and then it turns out he's trying to sell microwave ovens that are also an oven, and blah, blah, blah. And they had this really great scene where Ryan basically says to him, like, I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care how it's going, you know, like, you need to tell me that you're sorry for not being there, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, making me think that I didn't deserve your love.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you didn't really think that.
Oh, you did.
And then he, you know, they try to make amends. And, I like when Ryan goes to get his jacket and he leaves and Graham's having a talk with him. And he's like, well, I'm his father. I just want to be family. And blood doesn't make a family.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, Gramps, I'll see you later. Gramps?
Yeah. 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 And, yeah. And he throws the extra jab in there. He goes, yeah, see you later, son.
Yeah. And then they take off, and then when they come back and everything.
Everyone's gone, but Graham and Aaron were down at the coffee shop, and he's like, they left without me.
No. They were there, and then Aaron went to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that's
right. And Graham was getting peanut butter, and then they left without him. And then Graham's like, they left without me, blah, blah, blah. And then they end up chatting, and they have a good talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then he then, like, you know, the phone rings, and it's like, oh, hey, Graham, yeah, you come back and get me now,
yeah.
You know?
And they're like, okay.
Okay, yeah. And he's like, all right, so you're about to see something. It's a little strange, da, da, da. And he's like, come on, let's go. A doctor says you can go, but Graham has to explain it to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the end of it. And
they really revealed themselves to
a lot of people. The two archaeologists, Aaron, and then I thought they were going to kill him straight away.
Yeah.
But so anyways, that being said, the girl that's been taken over by the Dalek goes and builds him his tank.
Yep.
And we get to
see...
At a farm, yeah. Yeah.
Some old beat-up parts and... Yeah.
But we get to see the Dalek tank.
Yep.
You know, the Dalek in its tank and...
He's not fully integrated, so no. The doctor's able to use her sonic to, you know, interrupt his weapons.
And he's talking to her, and I love this part where he's like, we're going to do this. She's like, no, you're not, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm not human. Go have a look. And he scans her and sees the two hearts. He's like, who are you? And he goes, oh, I'm the doctor. And he immediately,
the doctor is an enemy of the Daleks.
Yes, I love it. I absolutely love that he immediately freaks out.
Yep.
Exterminate. No. Oh, it's just cool. It was just cool. And then this Dalek could fly.
Yes. Yeah, he had
boosters or whatever.
Boosters in there so that he could.
And then we have. Sorry.
No,
so
that he could basically take off because he said that he was going to send a signal back to Skaro.
Yes.
And let them know that the Earth was now under his control and come on down.
And then we have an unusual scene for Doctor Who where the army shows up.
Yeah.
And the Dalek and the army have a big battle. And he's just killing people left and right and shooting missiles at them. And yeah.
In keeping with the theme of we want to remind everybody that we are a Doctor Who show, she calls UNIT.
Yes. She
finds out that they've been disbanded. Temporarily disbanded.
Because of budget funding.
Yeah. And I think that was a direct stab at the whole Brexit thing. You know, because she said that there were different leaders of the European unions that couldn't agree on the budget and who was going to pay and stuff. So they basically got a woman who was sitting there at tech support.
Yes.
And she was like, I see that UNIT's been disbanded for right now. They're suspended temporarily, blah, blah, blah. Awesome. You know, because she specifically asked for Kate Lethbridge.
Yes. Yes. And then there's other forms of military if you need them, if you can answer a few questions.
Yeah.
We're on our own. Yes, that's true. That's right, because she did call UNIT, yes.
Which was awesome. I wonder if they're going to bring that back later. Like, if UNIT will get reformed somehow and we'll get to see them. I would love that.
Well, we see they managed to working together. They managed to melt the Dalek's new tank.
Which, that was another thing that was kind of odd for the Doctor. Like, she wanted it dead. And I get that, but the Doctor's always been against killing as much as possible.
She does the thing where she goes, I'm going to give you your final warning, because I'm nice like that, to give up and to go home.
Yeah.
And he says no, and she turns around and goes, you saw that I tried. You saw I gave him every chance. So she's justifying her actions because,
So then the team works together
and
electrocutes him, essentially.
Yeah, which kind of melts the tank.
Melts it right into slag.
Yeah, but it escaped again. This time I got Aaron.
Yep.
Takes him prisoner and basically blackmails them to take me to Skaro.
Whoa, dude.
There's no other way to describe it.
Because he's a black male doesn't mean you can use that phrase, okay?
Okay. There's no other term that has been invented by the PC police yet for blackmailer. Okay?
I know.
Anyways, holds Aaron hostage and blackmails the doctor into taking him to Skaro. And so they get on the TARDIS, and I like the arrogance of the
the Dalek?
Yes, thank you. I like the arrogance of the Dalek on the TARDIS. I'm on the TARDIS. It's the most magnificent thing. I've defeated the Doctor. I've defeated Earth. Da, 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 da. Oh, she brings him to a dwarfing sun.
A sun-going supernova.
Yeah. It only opens up, like, the door enough for a squid-like thing to be pulled through.
She specifically says a corridor the size of a squid-like thing.
Yeah. But it's starting to grow bigger, and it's becoming unstable, and Aaron's getting pulled through, and then we get the Ryan, I love you, Dad, blah, 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 and then they work together, and Alec gets sucked into the sun.
So I'm watching that, and Ryan's, you know, sitting there, and he's like, you know, Dad, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I need you to be strong. I need you to fight against this thing. And at first, my first thought was, you know, Aaron, like, there's a little glimmer in his eyes. And I'm like, oh, he's going to sacrifice himself.
That's what I thought was going to happen, too.
And then I went, wait a minute, this is Doctor Who. No, that's not going to happen at all. And sure enough, you know, he grabs Ryan's hand and they pull in and the Dalek gets sucked away. I'm like, yeah, it's Doctor Who. It's a happy ending for everyone.
Exactly.
Most of the time.
Most
of the time,
except for Grace.
Yeah. Or Donna. Or Rose. Martha.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. And, of course, really it ends with them just going on more adventures. And Ryan basically tells his dad, yeah, I'm going with them. This is what we do. You know, it's...
Yep. This time she referred to them as her best friends.
Yes.
Rather than doing the fam thing.
Right. And Ryan went off with Graham and Yaz and the doctor and got another season coming in 2020.
I know. Gives us something to look forward to. Now, I will say this. I caught up on 3 episodes of Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh, okay.
A lot of it I didn't really care about, like Adam Ruins Flying.
Okay.
You know, his whole first...
I'm pretty sure the airlines did that.
His whole first third of it was talking about how frequent flyer miles are bullshit. You know, the airlines control them, blah, blah, blah. It's all stuff that you know. What was interesting, though, was he was talking about how everybody glamorizes flying back in, like, the 60s and 70s. You see the shows like Mad Men and stuff, and they're all, like, on the private jets or, you know, they're in the first class and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, actually, it was horrible. You were more likely to die in a plane crash back then than you were driving down the road. There were – he listed all these different things, like, you know, engines would just fall off planes in the middle of the sky. The planes only flew about a mile off the ground, whereas now they fly several miles in the air. So because they were only a mile off the ground, they shook constantly. There was turbulence everywhere. And he said there was a combination of the turbulence, the fact that everybody could smoke, so there was a thick haze of smoke in there, and the smell of the chemical toilets in there. That's why they had to have barf bags on planes, because everybody got sick all the time from that combination of stuff. So that was pretty interesting. Most of the time these days, you don't need barf bags because the planes are so smooth and, you know, there's not the smoke, et cetera, but they're still on there. I heard a guy use one a couple flights ago. Yeah, that was pretty bad. The one that I really liked, though, Adam Ruins Tech. Yeah, it was basically talking about how, like, Amazon is at a point right now where they never show a profit. So they're able to skirt around all kinds of different legal loopholes, all kinds of government things. And they're at a point where nobody could ever be the next Amazon, because if the next Amazon showed up, they could crush it. Literally, there could never be a next Amazon because of the way that they are. Essentially saying that all these companies that we have now, the Facebooks, the Amazons, et cetera, they're all monopolies. And the government really needs to step in and crush them like they did with the electric company, the phone companies, the railroads.
Well, okay, so the electric company, the railroads, the phone company, those were all authorized monopolies. They were government-allowed monopolies because, for instance, the infrastructure of it all didn't make sense. I just went over this in my economics class, and I wrote a report on monopolies, actually, my last report. But, like, for instance, on the phone company side of things, at the time of the technology, you couldn't have multiple carriers running over the same lines.
Right.
So it didn't make sense to have, like, AT&T run lines and Sprint run lines and, you know, New England Telephone run lines.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to have, like, 6 sets of lines on
phones. Exactly, just so people could have options of phones. So that's why, like, you had phone companies that had that. AT&T had that legalized monopoly for so long. Ma Bell. For so long, they had that legalized monopoly that the government allowed. It wasn't until, I think, the 70s when it really started to break down, then it did break down, and finally ended up in the 80s when AT&T became all these other companies. And there's some, it's kind of ironic now because AT&T broke up into eight companies, like in 84, and five of those companies are now back together as one company. Dude, over the years of this person buying this person, but essentially it was MCI and the invention of microwaves, where then now you could use phone service over microwaves. So now AT&T could no longer need it to be a legalized monopoly because, and then now with the technology where they can run multiple carriers over one set of lines, that's why, like, yes, your CMP is delivered by, sorry, your electricity in this area is delivered by CMP. But where you get your electricity from, you can have a choice of.
Exactly. Yep.
So, yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. No, it's a good topic. the one that I liked, though, was Adam Ruins Sleep.
Yep. And, oh, I probably should watch that.
Well, he had some good points. The first one was about mattresses, and I really liked it. You know the tag that's on there that we always make fun of that says, do not remove under penalty of law? Do you know that that's there to protect the consumers?
Yes.
Because back in the day, the mattress salesman would stuff anything that they wanted in there, like old corn husks and, you know, manure, whatever they wanted into a mattress. And so the government said, well, you have to put a tag on there telling people what's in it. So then the mattress companies would just cut them off. And they said, okay, nobody is allowed to do this unless they're the consumer. So it's there to tell you what's inside your mattress. But he was talking about how, like, basically there are two companies out there that make every mattress. You know, you see all these like Caspers and Beautyrest and Sealy's and stuff. There's basically two companies that make all the mattresses. And most of the most of the sellers will sell the exact same mattress under different names. So you might see the Beautyrest Queen Sleep-O-Matic, and then you'll see the Beautyrest Tempur Majestic. It's the exact same mattress, but they change the names so that you can't price compare.
Yeah.
Because you can't just look up, you know, Nintendo Switch and see what the price is at different stores.
Right.
So they're basically trying to fuck you over.
I got a Bob Opedic. I freaking love it. I was just going to say, oh man, I have to buy a new mattress someday. I'm buying another one of those.
Good.
Yeah. Like,
I have to get one. So
I would buy a Bob Opedic. It's worth the delivery fee because, like, it's their version of the Tempur-Pedic.
Right.
And around here locally, to buy the king size bed and frame, it was like $1,500. Down at Bob's, it was like $900, and then like $100 delivery fee. So it was cheaper to pay the $100 delivery fee.
And they take off your old mattress
and they haul your old shit away. Yeah, it was easier. It was cheaper to pay the $100 delivery fee and on than it is to buy it locally for a free delivery fee because you still save like $500.
Right,
I love it.
The character in the episode about sleep was complaining that her teenage son was always tired and he was never waking up for his alarm and stuff like that. Turns out that as kids grow, when they reach about their puberty years, their internal biological clocks are programmed to stay up till like 11, 12 at night and then sleep in the morning. And back in the day, way back, they actually started school later in the day. But what happened was more and more kids were born and more kids had to go to school. So they needed to bus them to schools. So they needed to buy more buses. Well, what's cheaper than buying more buses? Using the same buses and putting everybody on a different schedule so that that same bus can take some kids in the morning, some kids later on.
Yep.
So that's what they did. And that's why high school starts so much earlier, which is when they need to be there. They need to be sleeping versus your six-year-old is wide awake at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, let's go. Let's do this thing because their sleep schedule is different.
People just assume, oh, six-year-olds need more sleep, so they have to, you know, sleep in later or whatever it is.
Yep.
I'll tell you right now, my three-year-old gets up at 5:30 pretty much every friggin' day.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, or for my wife, I mean, I work night shift and I'm not home 4 days in a row at 5:30, so she always has to get up with him.
Yep. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
That'll last until he's a teenager. But they were also talking, he talked about how people's, before the Industrial Revolution and before we had electric lights, people's natural sleep patterns were to sleep for a few hours in the evening and then wake up for like an hour or two and be wide awake and do something, you know, rub one out, go bake a bread or something like
that,
and then go back to sleep for a few more hours. That was the way that it was done. Everybody did it. It was first sleep and second sleep. And then when the Industrial Revolution came around, they wanted to work people for a solid 8 hours. And they said, well, we can't be having them, you know, sleeping for this many hours. And so everybody got fucked over and had to start sleeping a solid 8 hours through the night, which completely was not the way that meant that humans were designed.
Mm.
then you add in fake lights.
Yeah.
You know, and that started messing with the sleep schedule as well, because people were also used to just sleeping until they woke up in the morning.
Right.
When you have artificial lights, it throws off your circadian rhythms. We see that nowadays with all the blue lights and everything.
Yep.
So he said, basically, if you wake up in the middle of the night, that's normal. That's what your body is supposed to do. You're supposed to wake up for a little bit and then go back to sleep. So I thought that was interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Got any trailers? Oh, sorry. Do you have any more shows to talk about?
Just one.
Okay.
And I'm a little disappointed because you didn't mention this, but I watched the premiere of Deadly Class.
Has it premiered yet, or is it just the leaked episode?
It wasn't a leaked episode.
I know they officially released it online, but I thought it was supposed to be on until like January 16th or something.
December 30th.
Oh, shit. Okay, I just missed it then. Yeah, okay.
So they had the early premiere.
I'll probably watch it tonight after we're done.
I'll just say this. It's really good. It's set in the mid-80s,
yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I kind of wish it wasn't a sci-fi show, because I think they could do a lot more with the violence.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
It's pretty solid.
Blood Drive was a sci-fi show.
That's true. It's a pretty solid show, and they've got an interesting twist on the white supremacists in this.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Can I jump back to DC Titans real quick?
Go right ahead.
I just want to say that my favorite episode, I think, pretty sure of all 11, was Hank and Dawn.
Hawk and Dove?
Nope. Hank and Dawn.
Okay.
They had an episode called Hawk and Dove, was like episode 3 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had one called Hank and Dawn, I think it was episode 9 or 10. It was very, 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 very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what that's making me wish?
What?
That we had more Cloak and Dagger now.
Cloak and Dagger was good.
Oh, I miss Cloak and Dagger. That was such a good show.
It's coming back?
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right.
Trailers.
So I only really have the one trailer.
I have 5.
I have Us.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Obviously, you sent me the link.
Yes.
This is the new Jordan Peele horror flick. And basically, from the trailer, when you look at it, it's like a family who's being terrorized by a family of themselves. So it's like their doppelgangers are terrorizing them. It looks awesome.
It looks creepy as fuck.
And I've also heard that it may be set in the same universe as Get Out.
Mm.
And also, between Get Out and now this trailer of Us, I am so excited about his version of the Twilight Zone, because he's right? Basically Twilight Zone episodes that are, you know, I'm so excited about his version of the Twilight Zone.
I completely agree. Yeah, I was thinking that while I was watching it. I'm like, if this is what he can do with movies, imagine what he's going to do with a weekly serialized show.
Basically, yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be anthology where each episode is a standalone story, crying out loud.
Right.
But I don't know like if it's going to be 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I feel like I bet you'd be an hour.
I think an hour.
Because the Twilight Zone seasons 1, 2, 3, and 5 were 30-minute episodes, basically. But then season 4 was an hour. And then when they relaunched it in the 80s, and then it was an hour. And then the late 90s version was, I believe, an hour, but some episodes had 2 stories in them.
I'm trying to remember Amazing Stories.
That was a half hour, I believe.
But I think you got 2 episodes per. So it was like an hour long, but there were 2 half-hour episodes.
Yeah. Or was it a 2-hour movie with 2 half-hour, 2 hour-long episodes?
It was a weekly series. I know that.
I haven't thought of Amazing Stories in a long time.
That was great.
30 minutes.
Yep, okay.
30 minutes. And you did. You got like 2 episodes
per. 2 episodes per. And then I remember when you went to the video store, you could rent the tape, and it would be the 2 episodes per tape.
Yeah. And that came out in 85 and 86.
So I know that that's not the only trailer, because I sent you 2 others that we never talked about before.
Okay.
Hellboy.
All right. Yep. I think I commented this looks pretty good.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we hadn't talked about it on here.
Right. And I just forgot. That's all.
So it looks pretty good. It looks goofier than...
It does look goofier. Hellboy doesn't look as... That doesn't look as badass, but, like, it's not as crisp, clean, like, squared edges.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's supposed to be R-rated this time.
Yeah.
So they're going for darker and edgier, but, boy, it really felt kind of campy.
It did.
So, I don't know.
Campy.
I want to see another trailer before I cast my judgment. I'll probably still watch it. I'm not going to be lining up on opening day, but...
Yeah.
And the other one was Men in Black International.
Oh, yeah, I did watch that. That looked really, really good.
That did.
Yeah, that looked pretty damn
good. I like the little monument statues that they had in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked very, very good.
I'm looking forward to that one quite a bit. I saw two other ones. One my sister showed me. It's on history, and it's coming up here. It's called Project Blue Book.
Okay.
It's based on Project Blue Book, which was the code name for the Roswell alien encounters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing a dramatized series because within the past few years, they've been declassified, of course, heavily redacted, but declassified. Gary Oldman's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a number of actors that I'm like, oh, hey, it's him. Oh, hey, it's him. But it's going to be on the History Channel, and it's a limited series, and it looks really good. Like, I watched the trailer. I thought, oh, it's History Channel, whatever. Dude, I watched the trailer. It looks good. Because it's serialized. It's not a documentary.
Right.
So it's supposed to be like a, you know, this is what might have happened.
It's the dramatizations.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Some of the... It's like what they've done with Vikings. Wasn't that initially that? But now it's pretty much full drama because people love it. But, like, yeah, they do a lot of, like, is it still going to have a narrator, I wonder? Because I've seen some other ones like that.
I don't think so.
Narrate parts and then, okay.
It didn't look like it. It looked like an X-Files kind of thing, but based on real events type.
Okay.
Which I can totally get behind.
Absolutely.
And then tonight I saw the trailer for Stan and Ollie.
Oh, I saw that a while ago and talked about it on here.
Really?
Yes.
The full trailer?
Laurel Hardy. Yeah, it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Yeah.
It's darker than I expected.
Well, it's about
like later in their career.
It is. It's about basically when they've already had their TV run, and it takes place in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hardy died when he was in 1955, so I think the place late 40s, early 50s. It's like their last run through live shows in Europe.
Right.
And on CBS this morning, the other day, they had a really, really good – maybe I only saw the teaser trailer, but anyways, on CBS this morning, the other day, on Sunday morning, I listened to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really good story about the movie, and there's some swimmer – I can't think of her name now. Cassidy Clark, I think it is. She's a U.S. Olympic swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandfather is Laurel.
Oh, okay.
And she was talking about, like, oh, my God, maybe it's her great-grandfather. But anyway, she's related to him, and she talked about, like, how heartbroken he was after Hardy died and how he continued to write stuff for them, even though he had died. And it's just stuff that was never released or whatever, but stuff he wrote. Because, you know, you think about back in those times, you had the Three Stooges, Abbott, Costello, and Lauren Hardy. You know, those were the three main, like, comedy troupes or groups, whatever, that you saw on TV that did all those shorts all the time. And not for nothing, I never really watched a lot of Laurel and Hardy when I was a kid. I watched it later. I was always a big Three Stooges fan, and I saw a bunch of Abbott and Costello, of course. But, yeah, it looks good. It looks really good.
John C. McGinley, definitely wearing a fat suit.
Yes, he is. Yes, they talked to him, and he talked about how much he loves Laurel and Hardy, and, like, this was a passion project for him, and then he was afraid to play the character.
Yeah.
He didn't want to not do him justice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it does. It looks really, really good.
I'm looking for that.
Yeah, when does it come out? Soon?
Let's find out.
It comes out soon. Because I know, what is it? That Escape Room movie opens up this Friday.
You know, the more previews I see of that, the more I kind of want to see it.
I want to see it.
It looks,
I do want to go see it.
It looks good. Like, for a horror movie. Oh, come on, IMDb, why you let me down? January 11th in the UK.
Okay. So.
I wonder when it comes out in the US, though. Click, click, clickety click. Oh, it says it came out December 28th.
So is it in the theaters right now?
No, it's probably not in theaters around here. Somehow.
Theaters around here suck sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, none of them ever got Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah, that was so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great podcast here. No words at all. I just typed in Stan and Ollie. It's not even coming up at all on Regal. But Anna and the Apocalypse did.
Yeah. So,
anyhow.
I only have one piece of news before we start diving into the movies that we watched.
Okay.
There's a movie coming out called Free Guy. Have you heard of this?
Nope.
Okay. Free Guy is Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy.
Oh, hey.
It's going to be
sold.
A video game-focused action comedy.
Sold.
They've just announced three new stars. Jodie Comer, who plays the main psychopath on Killing Eve.
Okay.
Which is coming back soon for a second season. Rel from Get Out and now Us.
Okay.
And what's his name? Joe Carey, the pretty boy from Stranger Things. You know, I can't remember his name, but he's the babysitter guy, basically. Centers on a background character who realizes that he's living in a video game. With the help of an avatar, he tries to prevent the makers of the game from shutting down his world.
Okay.
Works for me.
Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, except even the one where he was played a guy that was in the ground in a grave.
Yeah. Buried alive.
Whatever it was. Yeah. Even that was good, even though it wasn't a good movie. My one bit of news is that Stranger Things returns July 4th.
Yeah.
So
I love the poster. One summer can change everything.
Yeah, poster's cool. Which I guess...
It takes me right back to my childhood.
I guess that's why they waited to the summer to have it, because it takes place during the summer. Yeah. But, I mean, still a year and a half, basically. Dick move. So I watched a bunch of movies.
As did I.
I watched Venom.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Comic book purists, I can see why they probably hate it, because, like, basically...
It's a Spider-Man story without Spider-Man.
If you don't know, Venom is a symbiote that comes from outer space in the comics, and he first merges with Peter Parker, and then when Peter realizes that he's kind of evil and taking him over, he gets him out of him, and then he hooks up with Eddie Brock, because Eddie Brock hates Peter Parker, and... The reason why Venom is the way he is, with the way he looks and his spider webs and on and on and on, is because of Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So he's taken Peter Parker's powers and put him in, and that's how Venom is. Well, in the movie, Venom still looks like Venom, even though Peter Parker's not in and has nothing to do with Spider-Man.
Right.
In fact, he comes from a race of alien symbiotes, and there's another one that's on the planet as well, and
which actually in the comics, they expanded on that, and there have been Planet of the Symbiotes.
Exactly, but initially that's not how it happened, obviously.
Recently in the comics, they've actually talked about one primal god of the symbiotes, and that's where they come from.
So, essentially, if you watch it as a standalone movie, as this is an original work and this has never been taken from anything, and you just kind of watch it, it's fun. It's not bad. But there's Tom Hardy, just maybe he's a great actor, but he's not a great talker.
No.
At anything he's doing. Like, it's, I don't understand how he keeps getting cast, because
the more I see him, the less I like him.
Yeah. There was some good comedy in this, though. This is probably the best role he's been in, by the way. There's some good comedy at times.
Not Bane?
There's some good comedy at times. And.
That was terrible.
But. It was an okay flick.
Okay.
It was okay.
Not a hard sell?
No. I mean, it's only made almost $1 billion. People are going to like it, but it was okay.
Yeah. Critics hated it.
Yeah.
Audiences loved it.
I don't care if I never watch it again.
Okay.
I mean, there's some funny stuff in it that's pretty damn funny. But it's just like, all right, he comes first, he's here, he's evil, and then he becomes a good guy, like, straight away. Without anything else happening. So by the end of the movie, like, Venom's like a hero.
See, again, I'll be that guy in the comics. You know, Venom was always the lethal protector.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to protect people, but he would kill bad guys to do it.
That's what he becomes at the end.
Yeah.
Basically, him and Eddie have a deal. He can eat and kill people, but it has to be a bad guy.
Yeah. Which, that actually lines up with the comics, so I'm okay with that.
Right, but if you're looking at this as like an origin story, it doesn't. It lines up with Venom, you know, 20 years after he's been in comics type of thing, not Venom when he first came in, and this is Venom's origin.
I feel like it was a dumb move on Sony's part. I get that they made a lot of money, so they're going to keep moving forward, but they've already got the sequel lined up.
Yeah.
But
which I'll probably watch, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll watch Venom at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm just not going to, you know, go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah.
It kind of irritates me that they left Spider-Man out of it, especially where they've got a really good established Spider-Man going on right now.
I'll talk about another movie I know you didn't watch.
What's that?
The Predator.
Yes, because we had that argument at the recording of our intro-outro last time.
Which, incidentally, I was incorrect. I was going to get Venom came out that week at Redbox, not The Predator.
Oh.
The Predator came out next week.
So. Okay.
I watched The Predator.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually liked it better than Predator 2.
Well, yeah. It's fucking Predator 2.
That movie was fucking terrible.
That'd be like saying, I enjoyed this better than Prometheus, you know?
But they do acknowledge Predator 1 and 2. I don't think they acknowledge Alien versus Predator at all.
What about Predators?
That took place on another planet, so how could they?
Well, maybe they heard about it.
But basically what it is that the storyline in this is that the Predators have been coming to Earth for a long time.
That was kind of established in the first
one. Right, but in this one, they know about them.
Oh, okay.
They just don't know why they're coming or why they're there. And then they kind of figure out why they're there. And
Schwarzenegger figured it out.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty darn good flick.
Hmm.
Like, as far as, yes, there's some comedy in it, but it makes sense in storyline purposes. It does make sense. You know, yeah, I liked it a lot. I would recommend it. If you liked any of the other Predator flicks, you should watch this.
If you like Predator 2, you should have your head examined.
Correct. But if you like Predator 1 or Predators or Alien versus Predator, you should watch this because you get more cool Predator in it, basically. Which I do like the fact that they finally talk about his name where, oh, and Randall's in it. From This Is Us.
Oh, Jesus. When you said that, literally,
yeah.
I went to Randall from Clerks.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like, what?
No, Randall's in it from This Is Us. And his character, he's a bit of a dumb asshole. But he's like the head of this. Yeah. Anyway, so he's in it. And he tells Olivia Munn's character, like, you know, it's the Predator. But what do you call him? No, it's the Predator. He's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's, you know, Predators. He's, you know, someone who kills because they kill to eat because they have to survive. This guy kills for sport. He's basically like the hunter. So I do like the fact that they kind of like played off that. But nice. It's a good flick, actually. I liked it a lot. I actually probably will end up picking it up if I find it in the $5 bin. Yeah, if I find it in the $5 bin, I'll pick it up at Walmart.
Interesting.
But I would not Venom.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I watched Peppermint.
Huh. Now, see, when I watched the preview for Peppermint,
yeah.
In the beginning, like, it felt like there were two different movies in that preview.
Yeah.
Because there was like the first minute and a half of the preview where her family gets murdered and she tries to get these people to go to jail and the judge is crooked and everybody's crooked and she's like,
That's pretty much the beginning of the flick.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be lame. And then she goes away for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she's fucking... She's Jennifer Garner as Sydney from Alias.
Basically, yes. It's exactly the movie.
I went, holy shit. Now that part I would watch.
Yeah. Well, you have to get through the first 10 minutes then.
Oh, that's it? 10 minutes? I can get through 10 minutes.
Maybe 15.
That's kind of pushing it, but okay.
Anyways, but yeah, like the first 10 minutes is the first minute and a half of that trailer. And then, yeah, she goes away and comes back as a badass killer who wants revenge on everybody. Nice. It's a good flick. I was surprised. I went in it, like, I was like, not to take this wrong. Jennifer Garner's old, who gives a shit? Like, I don't see her as an action star.
Did you ever watch Alias?
Actually, I never did.
Oh, wow.
I didn't. The only
thing, you missed out, my friend.
The only thing I can relate to with that, with her, is Elektra.
Yeah. No, you missed out if you didn't watch Alias.
I did not watch Alias.
Great show.
But anyhow...
Just saying.
Okay, I believe you. But anyhow, so this is great. She was excellent in it. This movie was good. Storyline makes sense. Great revenge flick.
Nice.
You know, I... They do a good thing. They do a good swerve in it at one point. It's a good flick. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
That one I want to check out.
Yeah, it's. I would give that one a good sell. Like, that's a good flick. Some great action, some great fights in it. And it's probably about an hour and a half, I want to say. So, like, that sounds so stupid. But, like, you know, several years ago, a movie was a movie, I'd watch it. If it was, like, 2.5 hours long, I'm like, fucking awesome. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm like, it's more than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to invest that much time in something. Because
I hear you there.
Especially if it sucks. That's a long time to invest in something if it sucks. But yeah. Oh, real quick. So Christmas Day, we come back and I take a nap because I'd worked the night before, and I get up and we're going to get Chinese food because that's tradition. So I go to Sun Sun and, you know, it's 30 minutes for our Chinese food, which wasn't bad considering you're telling people an hour wait by the end. So I get home and my wife says to me, "Hey, would you be okay if we watched Indiana Jones tonight?" I went, "What? Yes? Why? What birth is on?" And she's like, "Well, I've never really seen them, and it's on Amazon Prime." I have Amazon Prime again. It's on Amazon Prime, and I thought, you know, maybe I should want to watch those. I'm like, "Well, we have to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark first, because chronologically, it's the second movie in the series, but it's the first one that came out, so we have to watch that one first." She goes, "Yeah, I looked it up." Of course you would know that off the top of your head and walk off.
She says that like it's a bad thing.
I know. So we watched Raiders on Christmas night while we had Chinese food. It was awesome. And I, you know.
Definitely a better movie to watch with Chinese food than Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because the introduction part with the plates and the snakes and the monkey brains, and probably not want to eat that.
But, like, it's funny. I've seen Temple of Doom more than I've seen Raiders.
Me too.
And so I hadn't seen Raiders, and I've seen
Temple of Doom like a million times.
I've seen Temple of Doom as well. That's the most popular one, I think.
Well, I also had it as a kid.
Oh, okay. You know,
my dad liked to copy tapes from the video store, so we could just put that on and watch
it. But like Temple of Doom or The Last Crusade, I've seen those a bunch of times. I've only seen the Crystal Skull one once. That's enough. That's
twice too many.
Well, I got to watch it a second time here with the wife because she wants to watch the rest of them. But I hadn't seen Raiders that many times. And, It's a good flick. I mean, I knew it was a good flick, but I hadn't seen it in long enough time that I was like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah." So, I gotta be sorry. Anyway, so that was just fun for me. Oh, you want to watch Indiana Jones? But yeah, I want to watch Indiana Jones. Anyways, so what'd you watch for movies? I have more, but I'm
hogging the conversation.
Well, no, that's why I'm like, I have more, but I'm pretty sure like at least two on here you've also seen.
Right, right.
I have three more, so. Oh, more than that, sorry. I feel like, yeah, but anyways, at least two on here I think you've also watched.
Okay. I tried to watch Life of the Party. It's Melissa McCarthy, she goes back to school.
Oh, yes. I had no interest in that.
I love Melissa McCarthy.
I do, too.
I think she's great. Spy was hilarious.
Spy was really good.
And it was one of those that it surprised me. Here's the thing, okay? So you've seen Spy.
Yes.
The parts where she's playing the, you know, meek, timid, like, sit behind the desk kind of woman,
right.
You're like, snore, snore. But then when she, like, flips that switch and she starts really giving it to Rose Byrne and she's like, you know, "Fuck you, you emaciated bitch." That's where Melissa McCarthy shines. Happy Time Murders. Not a great movie, but it's definitely Melissa McCarthy at her best.
See, that's one that's been at the Redbox the last couple of weeks. And because of what you said about it, I've been hesitant to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I don't know that you need to see it. But, you know, Melissa McCarthy, when she gets to be crude, crass, over the top, R-rated, the boss, spy, shit like that, that's when I like her. In this one, no. She is the super sweet, over the moon mom who like just loves her daughter and loves her family. And you know, the movie opens up with her and her husband dropping the kid off at college for her senior year, and they get back in the van and they start to pull away, and the husband goes, "I want a divorce." And she never becomes a boss bitch. Or at least I only got like maybe halfway through and I was like, I need to turn this off. Because it's just not enjoyable. Like,
that's too bad.
She's getting owned by Debbie Ryan, who I think is a fucking atrocious actress. Like, she's,
I'm trying to think. I know what she
was in Insatiable. She's a Disney star.
Okay, yeah. She was in...
She has a voice like somebody who's been smoking for like 30 packs a day.
Hold on. I'm trying to think what it's called. Jesse.
Okay.
She was the Danny and Jesse, the show my daughter loved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's the queen bitch, and Melissa McCarthy never gives it back to her. And, you know, Jillian Jacobs is in there. She's actually got the funniest part because Melissa McCarthy says to her, "You know, you look a little old to be a student." She goes, "Yeah, I was in a coma for 8 years. And I woke up and I thought it was yesterday, or I thought it was the next day, and it turns out it's 8 years, so here I am at college." And I'm like, that's kind of funny. But she's undeclared because, you know, 8 years of her life are gone and she has no idea what to do. So, but yeah, it just, I couldn't finish watching it because it just wasn't any good. One that I did finish watching, which I can't give a strong recommend to, but had some funny parts, was Blockers.
Oh, the Cock Blockers.
Yep.
Yeah, the one with John Cena and...
Yep.
Kids.
Ike Barinholtz.
Parents trying to prevent their kids from having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ike Barinholtz is a fucking riot. I love this guy. Most of this movie was passable. It wasn't anything you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Stupid dick humor. The kids actually were pretty cool. You know, one of the John Cena's daughter, the Indian girl, you know, she's like, I'm going to get fucked tonight. I'm going to get laid. Like, she's really, I'm like, wow, this is like strong. And then there's the perfect girl who wants to get away from her mom because Leslie Mann is her mom. And she basically overshadows her and, you know, oh, come on, we're best friends and we're going to do everything together. And then there's like Baron Holtz's daughter who they're like, you know, your daughter entered a sex pact with our daughters. And he's like, that's not going to happen. She's gay. And they're like, what do you mean she's gay? She's gay. Well, has she told you that? No, I just know I'm her dad. And then she takes a guy to the prom and he's like, no way this is happening. But she really is gay. She's just – so it, parts of it were funny. Yeah. Watching them try to get into the party and pretend that they were kids was awkward at first. You know, they're like, no, we were just at this other party. And it's like, come on. So the guys are like, well, if you want to get in, you have to do a beer chugging contest. And the beer chugging is anal. So plastic tube with a funnel shoved up your rectum, and then you pour beer in there. Except the kids don't actually do it. You know, they like put the tube off to the side. But, oh yeah, like Baron Holtz lubes him right up and just he spit on the – don't spit on that thing. He's like, I got to spit on the thing. We got to lube it up somehow. Shoved it right up John Cena's ass. That part's worth watching.
Okay.
And then they're giving him this whole thing. You know, they're like, the beer's not going down. You need to unclench. I'm on clutch. You need to unclench. You need to relax. He's like, I am. And then they do something and he's just like, oh. That part's worth it. But yeah, overall, I'm not giving it a hard sell.
Okay.
It was not that great. And then I watched, so I was flicking through and I saw it on Cinemax. They had this movie called Arizona. And I remember a while back seeing a preview and thinking that I wanted to see it. Danny McBride.
Yes. Okay. I've seen this around. I've at least seen the cover box.
So I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need to watch this movie.
Okay.
However, I want to talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Because the premise is this, and they lay it out right in the beginning that it was back in the early 2000s when the housing bubble inflated and everybody was like, oh, my God. So down in Arizona, they built all these track houses, you know, these neighborhoods. And they built all these houses and then it crashed and nobody could sell them. So they just have all these houses and neighborhoods sitting out there that nobody can sell. Nobody wants to move in, et cetera. So the main character is a realtor and she's trying to she's trying to sell houses out in this neighborhood. She's not doing a very good job. She works for Seth Rogen, who Seth Rogen's a riot. You know, he's funny when he's in there. He's only in the movie for about 5 minutes because she goes to work and he's giving her like real shit. He's like really coming down on her for being late and being a mom basically and trying to take care of her 14-year-old daughter. And so he's giving her all this shit. And then she goes to take a phone call and steps out of the room because Danny McBride comes in and he's yelling at Seth Rogen. You told me I could get my money back on this house. You told me. And they get into a big yelling match. So she steps out of the room into like another office next door. And the two of them start wrestling and Danny McBride throws Seth Rogen over the railing and splat, his head cracks open and there's just gratuitous amounts of blood. And that kind of sets the stage for the violence in this thing. So he now knows that she saw him, so he kidnaps her and takes her to one of these houses, and he takes her to his house, and he's showing her his house and saying, you know, like, he's got, like, this secret panel that has all these guns in it, including a giant 44 Magnum, and he's trying to get her to be sympathetic towards him and say, you know, that he was just mad at the guy, and, you know, he has anger issues, but he's trying to work on him. So then his wife comes home. Oh, he finds out that she was lying. You know, he's going to let her go. He's like, you know, you're all set. You know, I'm sorry that I did this. He finds out that she's lied to people to get them to buy these houses. And he can't stand it. He snaps. He's like, you're a liar. You lie to people. So he ties her to a chair. Then his wife comes home, Caitlin Olson, from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts, like, ripping on him. Like, you're nothing, you're a loser, blah, blah, blah. So he hits her over the head with a club, a golf club, and knocks her out and ties her to a chair. So when she comes to, we've got the two of them sitting in the kitchen tied to chairs, and she starts running her mouth at him again. Blah, 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 you're such a loser, you're so pathetic, blah, blah, blah. He hauls off and cold cocks her. And I haven't seen this level of gratuitous, like, violent showmanship in a movie in quite a while. I was taken aback, and I almost gagged a little bit.
What was the one that Casey Affleck was in where he beat up, I'll keep going. Anyways.
So he hauls off, like, it, you just see it, and he goes, whap, and he hits her right in her right eye. Just bam. And she falls back. And you heard how solid of a hit it was. So then we look down at her. Dude, her lip is split like a quarter to a half an inch. It's actually ripped open. Her eye socket is caved in, and her eye is all purple and red with blood. You can actually see that the skull is fractured around her eye. And a little bit of blood starts coming out of her ear. It's nasty. Like, he hit her so hard, he ruptured her skull and killed her.
Damn.
And it just keeps going from there. He kills a lot of people. He shoots people violently. He essentially tracks this woman's daughter down.
Yeah.
You know, he has her license, so he goes to her house to use her as a bargaining chip. And meanwhile, she escapes, but then her daughter's been kidnapped, and he keeps catching them, and then they get away from him. And it's really fucked up. You don't need to see the movie. It doesn't end on any kind of, like, exciting note. There's no moral to the story.
It just sort of ends.
It's just a psychopath who doesn't start off as a psychopath. You know, he supposedly just has anger issues, but he fucks people up. Don't watch it. But it was interesting.
The movie I was trying to think of was called The Killer Inside Me. It came out in 2010. Casey Affleck, Jessica Alba.
Okay.
If you ever saw that one, it was very criticized as a graphic depiction of violence directed towards women.
Oh.
And there's a scene where he beats up Jessica Alba and just punches her in the face. Kind of not as hard to do that, but I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
I remember watching that and just being like, Jesus. Because I watch a lot of violence movies and stuff, but it was just really realistic, you know?
Sometimes that's not good. I think
when it's over the top and you realize, it's comically over the top or graphically over the top or whatever it is. But when it's like, that could be real,
like,
it's kind of creepy. Like
seeing her laying on the floor with her skull caved in right there from a punch and the eye like all milky and discolored. It was like, that was something that you'd see in like a crime scene photo.
Yeah. It's Last House on the Left. Remake version
with
Garrett Dillahunt.
Yes.
The scene in the woods where after he gets done raping the girl and the friend tries to get away, or maybe it was before then. No, it was before then when the friend's trying to get away and then they stab her. But it's not the over the top, like stab, 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 stab. It's just literally like one stabs her in the stomach, the other guy stabs her in the back. But it's a real stab looking. It's not over the top,
huge, that juicy noise,
graphic or anything like that. It's literally just like, she was really stabbed, but then it's just a small cut, which is what it is, but all the damage is inside. And pretty realistic. And I think when it's realistically graphic, it's worse than just kind of like graphic.
Like if somebody's head explodes, you're like, God, that was gross. But like domestic violence kind of shit, you're like, whoa.
To go into that, I watched this movie last night called When Angels Sleep. I had watched this movie on Netflix. Or Amazon. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to think. I watched something last night on Netflix. And this was a recommendation after the fact for some reason. It doesn't matter. It came up as being a recommendation. So I checked it out. And basically, it's about this guy. It's in Spanish. It's in Spain and it's in Spanish. And it takes place. This premise is there's this guy, he works too hard at his insurance company. His wife's pissed because he's 500 kilometers away. It's our daughter's birthday. You say you're going to be out of there. You're on a plane to get home. And he's basically like putting work before family. And so now he's trying to get home. So he takes a company car to go home. And things just aren't going his way. He gets backed into in the parking lot. His headlight gets wrecked. So later on, he gets, you know, he's driving down the road. So he has one fully working headlight, one partially working headlight, which I know that takes into effect later. And he's just, you know, trying to get home. And then he starts falling asleep while driving. And then he gets stopped by the police. And then the police make him go to a hotel and make him, like, get a room instead of arresting him. So they're kind of doing him a favor. But he's like, I need to get home because my marriage is crumbling. The neighbor guy is at my house. I know he wants to fuck my wife, which is a backstory in the movie that's not necessary. So anyways.
Why'd your voice get low for that part?
I don't know. New Year, try not to swear so much on the show.
Oh.
So,
didn't we have this whole discussion like two episodes ago?
Right, but that's why I muted my F word.
Oh, okay.
On an edited for TV movie.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow.
He wants to fork my wife.
Right, yeah. hey, we're here. So, anyhow, so of course he doesn't stay. He as soon as like he can, he leaves and he takes off. Now he's going to drive down a side road instead of the main road. In the interim, the other story is there's this 17-year-old girl, and she is like the biggest piece of shit on the planet. And we get introduced to her by her stomping through her house, wearing her short shorts and knee-high hooker boots, and, like, literally knocking things over in the house, telling her parents that they're pieces of shit, and that she's 17-year-old, she'll do what she wants, and da-da-da. Daddy gets pissed at her for, like, mouthing off to them and cursing at them, so he slaps her, which he shouldn't have done. And he kind of says, I'm, you know, basically like, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then she grabs his kitchen knife and she's like, you can't do, tell me what to do. I'm 17 years old. You can't control me. So she's very hateable, you know. And she goes out and gets in a car with her friends and takes off. And
did
then
she do anything with the kitchen knife?
Like,
did
she kept it with her.
Them? Okay.
She didn't stab anyone, but she kept it with her. She like threatened them and then walked out the house with it. Apparently dropped it in her bag, her purse bag thing there. And she gets in a car with her friends. It's her girlfriend. Friend is a girl, and her boyfriend, and then, of course, his friend. And they decide to go ahead and snort some heroin or cocaine or crack or whatever it is. They don't smoke anything. They snort it. They snort some drugs and get messed up.
Okay.
And then, and this is intercut with the scene of this guy. And then she is now in the back seat, and literally in the front seat, her friend is fucking her boyfriend in the front seat. She's sitting in the back seat, and the other guy, like, wants to get with her, so he starts, it's okay, I want to, you know, oh, we should just do this, it's okay. And so she slaps him, and he gets pissed, and she gets out of the vehicle, and then her friend gets out of the vehicle, and you know, we're gonna walk off, so they leave him there. Side road. And she just, they stop off, and again, like, okay, so this guy tried to rape her. Instead of calling her parents, she's like, my parents hate me. I'm not calling them, blah, blah, blah. He didn't try to rape her. He tried to force himself on her. But anyhow, she's still hateable. She's still not likable. You don't feel sympathetic towards her. So this guy, German, or German, or whatever you want to call him. His name's on the screen. It said German. That's his name. He dozes off while sleeping, overcorrects, and then he hits something, but he doesn't see it. And there's no real damage to his car, and he doesn't know what he hit, and yada, yada, yada. He hits one of the girls, the friend. So he goes back eventually, sees her laying on the side of the road, and then tries to help her, and she's still alive, and he calls 211, and they can't map where he is, and there's bad cell reception, the phone cuts out, and this and that. So of course, they try calling him back a couple of times, and they can't get a hold of him, so they report it. And then the police, like, well, he said there was an accident, so what happened? We don't know. So then they send police to go, you know, head off this tower, could be here. So they just send the police to go look around. This is throughout the movie. So, basically, and I'm just disgusted with this. So basically, you know, he finds her, gets her in the car. Then he sees the friend, the 17-year-old named Sylvia, who has done nothing to be likable. And he tries to help her, and she just starts screaming at him. And he gets her in the car, and she's clearly in shock. And then they're driving down the road, and he's panicking. He doesn't know what to do because he doesn't want to get in trouble. But at the same time, he can't get a hold of them. So his plan is he's going to drive them to the hospital. But he can't, and then his phone dies. And then he can't get him to the hospital because it's not mapping, because he doesn't know. So he's trying to find out where the hospital is. She starts losing her mind and screaming at him, and, oh, my God, what'd you do to my friend, and on and on and on. And he's trying to explain to her that, oh, I didn't do anything, and everything's fine, and calm down. And she just continues to become this non-likable person. And then she attacks him and starts hitting him. And then he eventually stops the car, and she gets out and runs off. And now he's like, I just can't leave her here. And now her friend's dead anyways. Oh, when her friend stops breathing and he starts trying to do CPR, she's screaming at him, don't touch her, get off her, get off her. And she's trying to stop him from him performing CPR. Again, she's a completely hateable character.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're trying. She's the sympathetic one in this. They want, you know what I mean? Like, she's a victim. But she's not. So then she runs off, and then he tries to go find her, and this whole cat and mouse thing happens for a while and everything. And then, like, she starts doing things like he finally finds her again and tries to get her back in the car, and then she, like, bites him on the arm and then stabs him with her knife. And all this stuff's happening. And then his wife tries to call, and he finally talks to his wife. And
I thought his phone was dead.
He plugged it in the car while they drove. So he talks to his wife, and he's just like, I can't talk right now. Everything's fine. I'm going to be later than I thought. And she's like, why didn't you tell your wife what happened? This is before she got, why didn't you tell your wife what happened? Because I didn't want to scare her and worry her. And she's like, no, you're lying. You're lying. You know, you tried to hit us on purpose because you swerved right at us, because she's now remembering what happened. But which he did, but because he fell asleep. And he's like, I fell asleep. It was an accident. But she's not having any of that. And then so she gets out, runs off. He goes after her, tries to find her. He's like, please, I can't leave you here in the woods. You know, and he wants to call her parents, and she won't let him call her parents or tell her what her number is or anything. He's like, I can't leave you here in the woods. And then she gets back in the car and locks him out of the car. And of course, he left the keys in it and, you know, the dead girl in the back. In the back seat, and now his wife calls again, and she's like, you're a murderer, you're a fucking murderer, I'm going to tell your wife what you did and this and that and everything like that. So he breaks the window out just trying to stop her, and that's when she bites him and then stabs him, and then he gets cut by the window. And again, she's supposed to be the sympathetic one in all this, and this goes on for a little bit longer, and I hate her so much in this movie, but you're supposed to like her because she's the young 17-year-old victim, right? So finally, like, she's now stabbed him again and broke a bottle on his head and hit him in the head with a rock. And she said all this shit to him. And he's chasing her. And at this point, because she's, I don't know, and she falls down. She gets a stick driven into her. And now he feels bad for her. And he's got the knife, but he doesn't want her to have it. So he puts it in his pocket and he's trying to help her. And then she's like, I'm going to tell the police what you've done and how you killed my friend and how you're trying to kill me and da 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 da. And then his wife calls again. So he answers it and he's talking to her and he's like, I'm not home because there's been an accident. And the girl stops talking. She's like, oh, so you are going to tell the truth, right? You know what I mean? And he's like, there's been an accident and that's why I'm late and this and that. And he just goes, I hit a dog and it's dead. I'll be there as soon as I can. And then she's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, because now he's like, fuck this bitch. So the scene happens where they commence to chasing and fighting. And, but now he strangles her and you think she's dead. And it's kind of satisfying because like, this bitch had it coming, but she's still alive, which is hilarious. Cause he drives up, not hilarious, but he drives up to put her in the car and she's still alive. And she's trying to get away from him now, and she doesn't know that he's there. She just wakes up, and you're like, damn it. And it's daytime now, kind of. And so now she's, like, walking through this creek, and he's like, son of a bitch. And he's exhausted. He's behind her, so he just starts throwing rocks at her. And he hits her and slows her down, and then he just goes and drowns her. And it's kind of awesome because, again, she's completely hateable, and there's nothing good about her whatsoever. And then
sounds like you could say that about this movie.
Yeah. And then he takes the dead friend and puts her in the water too and weighs her down. And then he goes home. And his wife, like, sees the car. It's like, it seems a bit more than a dog would do. And then she sees, like, a phone, one of the girls' phones. She's like, oh, man, he's going to get caught after all. Nope. Police show up. She's like, oh, no, my husband hit a dog. Oh, it's crazy. And they buy it. And then, like, 1 year later, he's now home on his daughter's birthday, and there's a news article about the one-year anniversary of this, the girl's disappearance, and da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. I kind of liked it. Because it was different. It was different. I know. I just went on way too long about a movie that you have no interest in. Probably most others won't. But I liked it.
Good.
Because it was different. Different formula. What else did you watch?
Sorry, I'm still trying to shake that out of my head.
That was good.
That was, wow.
It was just different because you would think that she would be the sympathetic character and you'd root for her and he's the bad guy and on and on and on. That wasn't the case at all. Anyways.
Gotcha. I watched Sorry to Bother You. You check that one out?
Is that the one with Kevin Hart?
No. Nope. That's the one that I told you that you needed to watch on Hulu so that we could talk about it.
Oh, fuck. No, I completely forgot.
Okay.
I think I added it to my queue as well, and I just forgot.
Yeah, you did. That night, you were like, I'm adding it to my queue right now.
All right. Well, let's talk about it next week.
Okay. We'll talk about that next week. I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, how was that? I've heard a lot of good stuff.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah?
It was honestly, like, the hype is worth it. It was a beautiful story. I don't want to give a lot away because it's still in theaters. You haven't seen it yet. But the basic story is this. You've got Miles Morales, who is not Spider-Man.
Yep.
He's just Miles Morales. But he lives in a world with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everyone there knows Spider-Man. His dad doesn't like Spider-Man because his dad's a cop. And then some shit happens. And it's beautifully done. When, of course, we all know that Miles Morales is a Spider-Man from the comics. So when Miles starts to get his powers, as he's moving through the movie, some of his thoughts come up as like comic bubbles. It's beautifully done.
Yeah.
The villains are amazing. They have a version of the Kingpin in this that is so over the top. Like, he looks kind of like Gru, if Gru from Minions, if you super inflated him. Like, he's just a giant block. Just this massive block. And yet it works. Prowler's in here. Again, I don't want to give away too much because there's a lot of this movie that you're watching. You go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. But you've seen the previews, so you know that Spider-Gwen's in here.
Yep.
Although she calls herself Spider-Woman, which that's, I'm fine with that. you've got Peter Parker that is played by, what's his name there from New Girl? Jake Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay. He plays a great... they're all from different universes. His version is a Spider-Man who's a little older. You know, he's in his 30s. Being Spider-Man is no longer enjoyable for him.
Yeah.
He's kind of let himself go. They make comments quite often that he has, like, a doughy mid part. MJ left him, so he's kind of depressed. He doesn't have a lot going on in his life. You've got Spider-Man Noir. You've got Penny Parker. You've got Spider-Pig, who – just Spider-Ham, sorry.
Spider-Ham.
I really, really love this movie. I want to see it again. I will own this one when it comes out.
Okay.
It was so well done. There's already a sequel in the works.
Oh, nice.
I'm super excited for that. I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
Well,
and the PS at the end is something that you – are going to appreciate for two different reasons.
Okay.
And it is awesome. It made me laugh out loud. It made me like, yeah, because there was one thing going into this movie that I was like, huh, it seems like, and we could talk about it later once you've seen it, but it was like, it seems like they should blah, blah, blah. And then the PS, I went, oh, they received it. And then the way that they do it is just, dude, okay. Oh my God.
I do want to check it out. I actually, a couple days after Christmas, I offered to take the kids to the movies. There's a bunch of movies showing we could have seen, you know, The Grinch, the Mary Poppins movie, Aquaman, Spider-Man into Spider-Verse. And what was the one? It was like five. It was one other we could have picked. And they actually wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. So we went to Bangor, went to Chick-fil-A for lunch.
So you weren't in Bangor at the time?
Nope. We were in...
You drove to Bangor just to go to Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, we went to GameStop and we went to... kids wanted to do. They wanted to go on a road trip. Okay. So I obliged them.
All right.
So I watched Black Mirror, Bandersnatch, and I know you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we should talk about it next week. Give it time for people to watch it.
Yeah, it is still pretty fresh. But definitely watch this movie.
I will say it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's very brilliant.
It's interactive, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
You have to be using your remote. I mean...
They do have default choices, so you can let it go to default.
But it's much more enjoyable.
Yeah, and if you ever played Choose Your Own Adventure, or read Choose Your Own Adventure, I mean, you're going to, it's pretty cool.
There are like five main endings, and then a couple other ones that aren't really endings, but they're kind of endings.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it, like, I was a little anxious when I went into it, because I'm like, I don't want to sit here and watch this five times. But when you get an ending, then... it'll play out, and then there's three options. Up in the upper right corner of the screen, you'll see go to credits.
Yep.
But then down at the bottom, you can actually rewind back to a previous choice.
Yeah,
it'll tell you what they are.
Yeah, you can either accept this ending, or you can go back to a different point and take a different path.
Yeah, kind of like keeping your finger in the book during Choose Your Own Adventure.
And I did that. So I think it took me 2 hours to watch all the footage.
Yep.
Roughly.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, because I went back, I think there's only one step I didn't do, and I thought, I don't need to do that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
we'll talk about that next week.
Definitely worth it. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I watched a documentary on Amazon called Perfect Bid, The Contestant That Knew Too Much, and it was about The Price is Right. And if you like game shows and you like The Price is Right, go find this documentary and watch it. It is awesome.
Okay.
It's only about 70 minutes long. Basically, it's about this guy who just started keeping track of prices. Because he noticed, like, he was watching some old episodes on, like, the game show channel, and he saw the same side-by-side refrigerator freezer, and he noticed that the price was the same on it all four times it was on the show. So he literally kept a log, and because he's a mathematician, and he kept a log of the items, and then the special features, and then how much the item was, and he basically memorized it. And he was only on the show as a contestant once, but he went 37 times. It was in the audience, and he helped people. It's very interesting.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
And I watched Bird Box.
I watched Bird Box as well.
You want to talk about that one now, or do you want to give people time on that one as well?
No, we're going to talk about that one now, because everywhere you go on social media, the memes are up.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about it.
I even saw something on Netflix posted on their Twitter about do not take the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah, because people are trying to do that.
Yeah.
Blindfold themselves and go places.
Yeah.
Stupid.
People are fucking stupid. Another Netflix Twitter account, like Netflix on Film account or something like that, responded with gibberish and then wrote, "Ah, I took the Bird Box challenge trying to tweet you. Didn't work out so well." but Sandra Bullock's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like, you know, in The Happening, people just started committing suicide for no reason. But like the only thing you knew that something the Happening was nearby is because like the grass would blow.
Right.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. People would see something, but something only they could see, and it would basically make them do either acts of violence or kill themselves or try to make other people see it. Right?
That's pretty much it. For the most part, they killed themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you only get little hints here and there. Like when her sister saw it, she said, like, "What are you?"
Yeah.
And then her eyes were just transfixed. Like, she couldn't close them. She couldn't look away. They started getting, like, this weird coloration to them. And then she tried to drive off the road. And Sandra Bullock was like, "No." And she tried to stop her. And they ended up flipping the vehicle. But people were just killing themselves.
Yeah. And then, like, this other woman basically was just like, "Oh, yeah." She's like, "Mom, but why?" "Oh, okay." And she gets in the car that's on fire. And the car just continues to burn. And she just sits there, doesn't scream, doesn't try to run out. But she dies from it. And basically, Sandra Bullock ends up with these other people that all end up in this house together. And they black out all the windows. And they're basically trying to survive.
Yep. John Malkovich.
Yep. John Malkovich is in it. I can't think of his name, but B.D. Wong's in it.
Yep. Briefly.
But the premise is, it starts out with Sandra Bullock and two kids, who she calls boy and girl. And she basically says, "We need to get in the boat. We need to go down the river. And you need to keep your blindfolds on. You don't take them off for any reason at all. Yada, yada, yada." And then the story is of them going down the river to this place, this sanctuary place. And it's intercut with the beginning of the story, what happened, and then what happened to them in the house and the few months they were there. And their supply runs and everything else. So it goes back and forth and everything. And that was a pretty solid flick, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Without giving away anything, you know, without giving away the ending, I will say this. You never see the monsters.
Nope.
It does affect different people different ways. You know, the news reports are talking, you know, don't look. Don't go outside. Don't look at anything. So when people go outside, they have to be blindfolded.
Yeah.
So, like, when they decide to go on a grocery run, you know, because there's a grocery store nearby there. Yeah. One of the guys says,
one of the guys who's in the house there works at the grocery store. Yeah, and he's got the keys for it.
Yep. But basically, they have to get into a car that they've completely blacked out and go by GPS and motion sensors.
Which is kind of neatly ingenious how they're going by, like, it's, you couldn't do it with any older car, but this newer car has those sensors, impact sensors, that warns you if you're going to hit something.
Yep. And they use the GPS to try to get down the street, get to the grocery store. When they're inside buildings, for some reason, these things can't seem to get inside buildings.
Right.
So when they're inside buildings and they keep the shades drawn, whatever, they're all set.
Yeah.
But then you find out that there are some people, most importantly, crazy people. People who are already kind of crazy, like at an institution.
Yep.
That when they see whatever this is, they think it's beautiful.
And they it forces them to make other people see it.
Yeah. Look at it.
I mean, there's this one scene where this one guy, like, forces this woman's eyes open, and it's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
To make her see it.
It's there's a lot of people who are already speculating, like, not what the monsters are, but what the, you know, lessons are, and how you can apply this to, like, parable stuff, and, you know, what is this, what is that. I think it's just a good movie.
I think it's a good movie.
It's based on a book, and I guess the book, they strayed quite a bit from the book in some areas. Some areas they were right on. But everything was left very ambiguous in the book as well. You know, you didn't find out what things were. They didn't talk about them.
Like The Happening, it just stops for no reason. And in The Happening, the thing starts for an unknown reason, then it stops for an unknown reason. In this, it starts for an unknown reason, but... But it doesn't stop.
It never stops.
Yeah, it never stops. We don't know why it happened.
Right.
What's going on.
Right. It's not, I'm pretty sure it's not meant to be like a, now there's going to be a sequel.
I hope not, because.
I think it was good for what it was, just suspenseful.
I don't think they need to make another one.
You know, they had some really creepy scenes where she was basically teaching her kids to ring little bells, like from a bike. You know, ring the bells and I'll come and find you. And she was clicking rocks together to teach them, like, listen for the sounds and you'll know where things are and blah, blah, blah. So they had some really tense moments, like in the woods when she lost sight of them.
Yes.
And the reason that it's called Bird Box, like somebody pointed out early on, they're like, doesn't this sound like something that you'd see on an infomercial for TV? You know, like you've got Bark Box and Bird Box. It's something to get your birds. But the reason that they call it Bird Box is because whatever this creature is, whatever these things are.
Or whenever possessed people are around.
Right. Birds sense them and start going nuts.
Yeah.
So they keep a box with little birds in them so that they can always know what's going on. You know, and early on when one of them infiltrates the house, like he takes the caged birds and puts them in the freezer so that, you know, won't go nuts when he reveals himself.
Yeah, because it's almost like it lay dormant in him until he wanted to let the crazy out.
Yep.
It's kind of weird and different.
It was, But yeah, so that's why it's Bird Box, is because they have a box, they've got some birds in there to basically warn them that shit's about to go down.
And these kids are like 5 years old.
Yes.
Yep. That's the other thing. They're like 5 or 6 years old.
And we find out they're called boy and girl because she never gave them names because she didn't want to get attached.
Well, she didn't want to get attached. She also didn't want them to think, and she didn't want, like, the guy telling them fairy tale stories or even just stories in general, because she didn't want them to think, oh, there's a chance in life some good thing might happen, because nothing good's ever going to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, when she was pregnant, so it's one of the kids of hers.
Yes.
And at the beginning of the movie, when she finds out she's pregnant, essentially she knows who the dad is, but she's not going to tell him. And we don't even know, and basically she implies that she doesn't even know if she wants to keep the kid or not. And then, it hits the fan, so she doesn't have a choice. So,
Sorry, but I was just scrolling down through here, and it happened to pop up that one of our friends posted something for you. It says, Travel Channel is reviving Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yes.
With Bruce Campbell as the host.
Yes, I saw that.
That's phenomenal.
That is phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ripley's. I've been to the Ripley's house in... St. Augustine's, Florida, Kissimmee, or Orlando, whatever you want to call it, Williamsburg, Virginia, New York City, and Prince Edward Island. If I'm near Ripley's Museum, I'm going to go. I love those things.
And now it's going to be Ripley's with Bruce Campbell?
And Bruce Campbell as the host? I mean, Gene Kane was a decent host, but Bruce Campbell as the host? Yeah. I could see him wearing, like, a Joker jacket or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, with all the question marks all over it. Being the host on that. Bruce Campbell's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Man with the plan.
Anyway.
That's it for me, though. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's it for me as well.
I like how we started this going, what do we have to talk about? It's been 2 hours.
Oh, I knew we had a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
This was the hodgepodge episode.
Okay. The 2-hour hodgepodge.
Yeah. So this week, we'll be getting back to some shows. Like I said, Blacklist comes back. Orville's back in swing.
But all of our other shows still on hiatus for a couple more
Most
weeks?
Most of them, yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I've got several shows that I watch that you don't care about, so they're back for me.
Okay.
Like The Gifted and MacGyver and
Family okay.
Guy. And,
okay.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
Cool. All right, well, until next week, I'm on the Twitter at SuperstarMel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
And that's the show. Have a good night.
Later.